You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hello, turkeys. You're listening to the greatest thing on the internet ever made. The Metal Geeks. Rock out with your penile implants out and be geeky about it. Hey, boy. You like to party? Well, come on down to Metal Geeks and slop out with your geek on your face. On the internet, Skype it, eBay.
Welcome.
2020
vision. Oh, 2020. Don't say 2020 vision. That's annoying. Welcome to episode 2020 vision. Welcome to episode 174 of the Metal Geeks podcast. Welcome to 2020. Welcome to a new decade, my friends.
Hey. New decade.
New decade. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
This is Brutal Dave. Speaking to you from the year 2020, apparently.
In the future. We're totally in the future.
Yes.
Now.
Well, if you listen... Not really. If we recorded this before New Year's and then released it, yes. But we didn't do that.
No, we didn't.
We weren't that
but
smart.
But it feels like the future. Saying 2020 feels like the future.
It does, right?
It does.
We're in the roaring 20s again.
Yeah, that's right. The futuristic 20s.
That's right. We're like
the
in the
bad 20s.
We're in the Jetsons now.
We're in the bad 20s. Let's be fair. Have you watched the news lately?
It's just like
the last 20s.
I mean, it's just gotten worse.
World wars and economic instability. And
yeah, when did the Great Depression start?
Tomorrow.
When is it? It's the Greater Depression?
Yes, it gets worse.
What's your name?
Oh, I'm George Tripsis, by the way.
Bad stuff.
Well, welcome everyone. This is going to be a very... special episode. This is our 2019 rewind. So we'll talk about our favorite movies, our favorite films and TV shows and comic books, sort of.
Is there a succinct difference between movies and film?
I
guess if you're talking
artistic quality.
Artistic, yes.
Heyo,
sour old man.
Trumping on 2019 jokes now.
Did you see that his daughter wrapped all his Christmas presents in Marvel wrapping paper?
Was that real or was that just a
tweet?
That's real. Oh, yeah? That's awesome. I want to believe that's real.
I believe it's real. You just have to have a little faith and believe in it. We'll talk about that. But we're also going to talk about maybe some of our favorite music from the past year. Since Dave wasn't on the last episode of MSRcast.
I was not.
We had a very special guest, Justin, from... your co-host from Mind Fudge, and we tried to come up with a nickname for him, but nothing ever stuck.
Justin?
Yeah, he was trying to come up with something, but...
Yeah, nicknames don't work that way.
No.
You can't...
They just happen.
They happen. You can't,
they do.
If you consciously make up a nickname, it never works.
That's right.
This is very true.
Did you guys have a good New Year's and a good holiday?
Mostly.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Had people over.
Yeah.
Did stuff at home. A lot of house stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that too.
Yeah, you cleaned your office.
I did.
Yeah.
Not this one, but both offices.
Both of the offices, yeah. I cleaned my office, too.
Hooked
we're
my
some
office
cleaning
we
motherfuckers.
Were. I hooked my electronic
cleaned
drum set
some of
back
my
up.
Office.
There you see, we're all cleaning offices.
We're office cleaning motherfuckers.
That's right. You should hire us to clean your office.
Don't do that,
no,
please.
It won't happen.
The Metal Geeks Office Cleaning Service? No, I don't think so.
That's a great band name. Let's be fair.
Maybe. I did hook up my electronic drum set again. I played a lot of that. That was fun.
One of my Christmas gifts was a wiring kit for one of my electric guitars. It's actually my first electric guitar. It hasn't been working in years.
Wow.
I got a wiring kit for it, and I soldered it all up the other day, and it's working perfectly again. So kind of in the same boat.
Bring it over. We'll hook the drum set up, and we'll play.
It's in my sea of guitars.
Yeah? How many guitars do you have?
13, maybe?
Holy fuck.
This is your first electric guitar?
This was my first electric guitar that I ever owned.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
So you own many electric guitars.
I own many, but this was the first.
This is his first one he got for Christmas, and then he went out and bought like 12 real quickly.
No, I got a new classical guitar for Christmas.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I did actually see that, yeah.
What is a classical, like a wooden?
Nylon string.
Oh.
So it's... It's like an acoustic guitar as you typically think of it. I'm chewing on ice, excuse me.
Bourbon flavored ice.
Yes. So usually if you see people playing acoustic guitars, they're playing a steel string acoustic guitar. A classical guitar is similar to that. But the neck is wider and it uses nylon strings.
They have a different, instead. Like a different, like a tone, like a tone.
The
up?
Tone is, the tone is very different. So,
the, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the reflection, but
the reverb.
Reverb.
There, yeah, it's a warmer tone, a warmer sound. Techniques are a little bit different. The neck is actually wider than a standard steel string guitar.
Interesting.
And to play it properly, it's a whole different set of techniques from playing other kinds of guitar. But like Willie Nelson actually plays his famous guitar, Tricker, yeah. Is a classical guitar.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that's part of what gives him his signature sound is he's playing
that more jangly sound.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's a little bit gypsy jazz kind of sound. Yeah. Because a lot of your gypsy jazz guys were playing on classical guitars.
Is it that guy on TV who like wore like the black hat with like the cowboy belt on his hat and he always wore black and he had like cocaine long nails and he was selling his guitars on TV?
I don't know what the hell
you're talking about.
It was infomercials late at night. Like,
never
saw that. That was a thing like in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I don't remember that.
Guy's trying to pawn off his guitars.
The long fingernails, though, that is an aspect of traditional classical guitar playing. Picking. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can tolerate the long fingernails. Yeah. But yeah, because you're picking with your fingernails. Yeah, and I don't know if I can grow mine out long
like
enough
Santana.
To tolerate it. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I get for the holiday? I got a couple of great bottles of I got a bottle of Dewar's 15.
What?
Dewar's.
Oh, alcohol.
Alcohols.
You got alcohol for Christmas.
I did, and I got tickets to go see Devin Townsend.
To drink your alcohol at the show.
I don't think it's going to last that long.
Don't know if it's confirmed yet, but we're planning to go to that as well.
Oh, yeah. I made a list.
I've never seen Devin Townsend before.
What?
That's correct.
I made a list of how many concerts are coming up that I wanted to go to. It's ridiculous. I'm pulling up the list right now. There's so many good shows coming up.
So many, it's taking all your bandwidth to load them up.
It pretty much is. You know Lucifer is playing next weekend?
I forgot about that. I'd seen that it was coming.
They're playing The Secret Group. Mm-hmm. I hear
he tempted Christ once.
He did. That's true. But it's a female-led band, so who knows?
Saying
they're playing.
Can't be a lady.
Whatever. Female empowerment. I'm good with that. They're playing in The Secret Group, where the next week we have a podcast event, which is sort of cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Steve Harris is playing with the British Lion Band.
I don't know any of that material.
I don't really like the material.
You have? Oh, really? I haven't listened to any of it.
It's okay, but it's more the experience of seeing Steve Harris in a small club.
It's weird to me that you would say that the material is just okay because, one, it's Steve Harris, and like he writes a lot of the material for Maiden.
It's more rockish. It's not Maiden, for sure. Ocean of the Slumber is doing a show on February 14th at the Wide Oak Music Hall.
That's maybe. That's Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Yeah. But I saw that one.
Yeah, I definitely will go. Next day is my wife's birthday, actually. So.
Oh.
The Opus is playing the 28th.
I can't go to that one. I'm going to go so bad.
I don't know if I'm going to go to that one. I've seen Opus so many times.
I have too, and every time I do, I'm glad that I did.
Is this all in January?
We're in February now.
Oh.
Now we're in March. Friday, March 6th, Overkill and Exhorder are playing at Warehouse Live. I am not missing Exhorder. It's amazing. We saw Overkill there before, and it was like a big wall of sound.
Yeah.
I'm not really excited about the sound there, but
Warehouse Live, it's a lot of exposed flat surfaces and exposed girders.
It gets
fucking loud in there.
Yes, and unless they bring their own sound people,
mm-hmm.
like when Blind Guardian played there, it sounded good.
Yes, they did.
When Devin Townsend played there before, it sounded good. So, speaking of, on that Monday, March 9th, Devin Townsend's playing Warehouse Live. I'm excited for that. Devin Townsend, Hyken, and The Contortionist, I think.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I don't know anything about them.
Hyken's really good.
I know them.
Yeah, The Contortionist. I don't really know too much about them, yeah.
I hear it's an interesting beer.
The Contortionist?
Heineken.
Not Heineken. Hyken.
You said Heineken.
Hadouken. Then we have March 29th. So we have a little bit of a respite, or a little repose before the next big show. Mayhem, Abbas, and Idle Hands are playing.
What?
You know that?
I don't. Is that on a weekend?
It's a Sunday, March 29th.
God. I would love to see Mayhem and Abbath for that matter.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can swing that one.
April 9th, I have VIP tickets for this show, actually, Insomnium.
Go into this one.
Oh, yeah. The following weekend, April 18th, is Hell's Heroes.
Yep, can't do that one either. Really want to, but I can't.
Oh, man.
See, a lot of these are happening in the midst of Sherwood Forest Fair, and I can only justify taking off so much time.
Right.
So Insomnium is one that I'm taking off for.
Well, good choice.
So.
Amazing choice. Then I'm going to San Antonio the next day to see the Monkees.
Yeah, you are.
Hell yeah, I am. So All the Sun is playing on May 23rd. I don't know if I can go to that.
Oh, that's during another major event for
most
of us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm going to have the same problem. I would like to go to that, but same situation.
So if I can, what I'm thinking, if I can sneak away later after everything is done, it's a far drive from downtown to...
No, you're there in 30 minutes. I live 6 miles from Scout Bar.
Yeah, I know.
It takes me about 20, 25 minutes to get to the George R. Brown.
Okay. All right. So maybe. We'll have to figure that out because they are doing a headline show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their very first headline tour, so I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Symphony X, Firewind, and Primal Fear are all playing in June.
That one I wasn't aware of.
Oh, yeah. That's a fucking phenomenal lineup. And Hammerfall in September. That's my list.
That one I did know about, yeah.
Got tickets during the when Enter the Vault does their half off Black Friday stuff.
Yeah.
Kim's going to a Hammerfall show. No, tickets are acquired. You're going.
Thank you. Kim just offered me her ticket.
No, didn't happen that way. We'll know closer to the show.
No, none of those things.
So something that I did get for the holiday was from George tonight. He got me this cool heavy metal fun time activity book. So before we get into our...
It fits him perfectly.
It does. Before we get into our top, our rewind of this past year, I want to play a little game in here. It's Ronnie James Dio's Holy Diver Metal Ad Libs.
All right.
Mad Libs. So, I haven't played this. I don't know what's going to happen. We're all going into this fresh together. So, first of all, I need an adjective.
Fiery.
Wow.
Fiery.
Yeah.
All right. I need a verb.
Pulsating.
Is that a verb?
Pulsate is probably what we're...
That's a pronoun, though.
No, pulsate is the verb. What you're describing is a gerund, which is the verb in... I'm sorry.
Take me to school, sir.
The verb, as we're typically going to use it in a sentence, is not going to have an ing ending.
It does here.
It does have
an ing, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Aha!
Well, fair enough.
So pulsating is not going to work, so we'll just do pulsate.
Pulse-ing.
I need an animal.
Zebra.
Babe. A zebra? A
zebra.
And I just realized what this is. All right, we're good. This is going to be fun. I need the feature of an animal.
Horns.
Okay. I need...
Horn zebra. That's what's happening.
One of the five senses.
What?
One of the five different senses.
Smell.
Yeah, I was going to smell as well.
Okay. I need a gemstone.
Emerald.
I need an animal and a color.
A unicorn. Black.
That's pretty metal.
Black Unicorn's a good song. It's from Brimstone Coven. Check it out.
All right.
I need a verb.
Great. Like G-R-A-T-E.
Gotcha. I need a verb. Another verb.
Falling. Running. Standing.
Let's do...
Kick.
That's a lot of verbs.
We'll do
pick one. Kick.
I need something in the sky.
Diamonds.
Obvious choice.
They're over by Lucy, right?
Yes.
I need a person.
Is this a, like, where we need a proper name here?
I guess. Yeah, just a person.
Like a real person?
And this is Ronnie James Dio's Holy Diver Metal Libs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you already read it. You don't have to cover it up. I'm not reading the rest of it. Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Next, I need...
This is a long ad.
Texture.
A texture?
Texture.
Plaid.
That's a pattern, not so much a texture.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. What would be a texture? Sandpaper?
Gritty.
Gritty?
Gritty would be a texture. Yeah. Sand.
I need an adjective.
You got an adjective?
I'm thinking. Trying to think of a flowery one.
Flowery.
Oh, all right. Okay. That works too.
See how I did that?
Here you go.
I need a noun.
Dave?
Stone.
Like the Rolling Stones.
I need another noun.
Dog.
Okay.
It's a noun.
It is.
I need another noun.
Human.
Okay. I need a verb.
Dying. That's an action.
Yeah.
What would be another verb? Better verb.
Better verb than dying?
Yeah. Bleeding to death.
Bleed. Bleed's a verb.
Go with bleed.
Bleed. This sentence, this story is not going to make sense.
I need a verb and an animal.
Race for your verb.
Okay.
An orangutan.
There you go.
Orangutan. Okay. Where the fuck
am I? How many more of these are there?
This is a really long Mad Lib.
I got lost. Okay. I need an animal's organ.
Gizzard.
I was going to go with mountain oysters, but that works too.
Another noun?
Knife?
Adjective.
Spiky.
It's the spiky knife.
I need another verb.
Stabby. I'm just going to stab. That's a verb.
Stab. Okay, we'll do stab. We got three more here. Animal.
There's a lot of animals in this story.
You'll realize in a minute.
Goat.
Tiger.
Or
let's
tiger.
Get the tiger. No. Because I know that's what it's looking
all
for.
All right. We'll do
okay,
more.
Then forget the tiger.
How about a liger?
Liger. There you go.
I need a part of an animal.
Tail.
All right. And one of the five senses.
Sight.
Oh, yeah, we really did smell, so.
All right. So, if you haven't figured out, this is actually Holy Diver.
I figured.
Is it really?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to start here. You've been down too long in the fiery sea.
Been down too long in the fiery sea.
Oh, what pulsating of me.
See, it works.
I give you that. Ride the zebra. You can see his horns, but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you smell what I mean. Gotta get away, Holy Diver. Then shiny emerald. Like the eyes of a unicorn in the black and blue, something is grating for you. All right.
Be plenty of cheese available once you arrive.
A lot of cheddar.
Kick for the morning. You can hide. You can hide in the diamonds till you see the light. Oh, Ozzy Osbourne will pray. It's all right. All right. Got to get away. Between the gritty lies, there's a truth that Flowery is steel. The stone never dies. Dog's never-ending wheel. Holy Diver, you're the human of the masquerade. No need to bleed so afraid.
Wow.
We made a very good version of the song.
Yes, we did. Race on the orangutan.
I don't know how that's possible, but that would be great to see.
You can feel his gizzard, but you know he's mean. Some knife can never be seen. Oh. Holy Diver, you've been down too long in the spiky sea. Oh, what stabbing of me. Ride the liger. You can see his tail, but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you cite what I mean.
Oh, it's still C.
Yeah.
And that's actually what the lyric is. So we ended on...
Oh, right, a correct lyric.
A correct lyric, well done.
And a close to a correct lyric, yeah.
Good job, team.
Ride the liger.
I'm going to sing that every time I hear the song now. Wow. Very cool.
That was dumb.
Isn't every ad-lib dumb when you're done with it, though?
I think I need another drink for that. Where do you want to start with? Do you want to start with music, film, TV?
Music's going to be very short for me.
Okay. Do you have anything pulled for music?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with music then. This is the Metal Geeks podcast. We'll start with George.
Uh-huh.
Go.
Do we need a drum roll?
I don't know of any new music this year.
You don't?
Nothing.
That's not true.
That is not true.
New music? Everything I listened to came out like last year or the year before.
He's always behind. He just discovered Testament from 1987.
It's true. Wow. This is true. I can't. Come back to me. Y'all go ahead and get started.
All right. I'll why don't you go look. First? Because if you've listened to the latest MSR cast, you know a lot of mine.
So how are we handling this? I don't have a top 10 list. I have a number one.
Okay.
But everything else is kind of open to interpretation.
Since this is more of a rewind, we're not going to go. We don't have to do top 10s if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But just give me your best, and then you just save the number one for last.
All right. So stuff that I really liked this year, the new Opeth and Cauda Venenum.
Really?
I loved it. Love it. Yep.
You and Maurice from Blues Funeral would be the only two guys.
Did people not like this album? I think it's great.
I like it. It's not their best album. It's not even my favorite Opeth album this year.
Explain.
The better Opeth albums are from Lucidity and Wilderun.
I forgot about that Lucidity album.
Yeah.
No, I thought this was a great Opeth album. I really enjoyed it. It's full of proggy goodness. I probably like it for a lot of similar reasons that Maurice would like it.
Fanboy.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
It's fanboy. Yeah, but why? I like the progginess.
Yep.
I like the complex song structures. I like how they do that stuff. And to me, this is just continuation of Opeth doing what they do. I have not had a problem. I know that after Watershed, they started to get a lot of shit for the direction they took after that point. I love everything they did after that point. I'm there. I see it. To me, it makes sense. And seeing them perform the more recent material live alongside the old material, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
It fits right in.
Just performed differently.
It's just performed. And it's recorded differently as well. The recording quality and the production.
Very 70s mono style. Yeah.
And that's one of the major, major influences on Michael Akerfeldt. Oh, so, of course, it's going to show up. I think it's a good album. So, cool. I'm there for it. One that took a little time to grow on me. I know that you're big on it. Was the new Insomnium, Heart Like a Grave. I listened to it a few times, and it didn't click for me for a while. And then it finally did.
This album, for me, if I put numbers to it, it's my number one album of the year.
Is it?
I went by how many times I listened to an album, how many times I went back to it, and the feeling of when I wasn't listening to it wanting to listen to that album.
Yeah.
And this Insomnium did that for me.
Sounds like an obsession, my friend.
A little bit. It's okay, though. I'm looking forward to seeing them live and meeting them all, because I've met a few of them, but...
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed... the new Swallow the Sun was very good.
My number three.
The new November's Doom was very good.
My number nine. Yeah, I really enjoyed this album.
Yeah, it was very good.
Sean, the Metal Pigeon, doesn't quite like this album. He likes Hamardia better, but...
Fair enough.
I mean, I can see that. But
if I was making a top 10, this would have been low on my list. But I still liked it. I thought it was a very good album. I liked the new Nile a lot, and part of that is
I did too.
I will admit a little bit influenced by getting to see them again. I saw them in December.
That's right.
And I hadn't seen them in 10 years or so. Probably
I hadn't
a little bit
listened
more.
To them in a while. I mean, I've listened to them, but I didn't really pay attention. This new album. They do some really cool, like not sound effects, but just like melodies. Like it feels like the soundtrack to 300.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like the Romans fighting everybody else, and
getting to see them live and experience all of those different kinds of textures that they use in their music. Doing it live, it was incredible. Like I said, I haven't seen them in 10, 12 years, something like that.
It's been a while
getting
for
to
me
see
too.
Them again, they were. Phenomenal. God, what a good show. So I will admit that getting to see them live is part of why this ended up on my list.
Cool. I can see that.
As you were talking about one of your criterion being how often you went back and listened to it, Illimitable Dolor, Lead and Light.
It's on my list.
I listen to it a lot.
It's lower on my list, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably wouldn't have been super high on my list, but I listened to that album quite a bit. Good. If you're not familiar, very down-tempo doom metal stuff.
Well, not to break away from this, but I was introduced to a new band that came out in 2019 that is very slow doom, sort of sounds like it was written by Devin Townsend, Paradise Lost-ish.
Okay.
They're called Funeral Fuck.
Okay.
But it's instead of the U's, it's V's.
Okay.
And you hear the name, you're like, oh, that's very raw, you know, pagan black metal or something.
Right.
Something cult.
Huh.
But no, sir. I'll have to play it for you later. You'll be like,
check that out.
If I heard that earlier in the year when I was working on my list, it would have probably been pretty high.
How do I want to approach this? The new Russian Circles was passable. I listened to it quite a bit.
Serviceable.
New Tier, kind of the same way.
I feel the same way about that one.
The new Borknagar, kind of the same. It was pretty good.
I like the new Borknagar because they try a little bit different. They definitely went more proggy on this album,
mm-hmm.
which I enjoyed. And hearing it a lot, because my wife listened to that album all the time.
It's cool. Like, ICS Vortex, I really like him as a vocalist.
Yeah.
He seems to be putting on his best James Hetfield for this album, in my opinion.
Yeah. Not that bad.
It's not real bad, but there are moments, and I'm like, James?
At least I get to see him live for the first time in 20 years.
Yeah, it'll be cool. The new Alcest is cool as shit, if you're into that kind of thing. The Beelzebub's album came out this year, and it is fucking quality music.
I listened to that. That was good.
It's good.
It's in my top 20.
Yeah. Very good. The new Wormwitch was kick ass.
That is my
Heaven that
number
dwells within.
14.
Very good.
Fuck yes.
It was.
And I discovered that super, super late.
I kind of did too. I listened to it when it came out and then totally forgot about it until late in the year.
Justin reminded me of it. He's like, hey, do you remember that Wormwitch? I'm like, oh yeah.
Justin reminded me of it as well, and I went back and listened to it. And so I didn't have a lot of time to digest it, but every time it came up in a playlist, I'm like, this kicks ass. Who is this again? Oh, it's that Wormwitch album. Cool.
Yup.
Very cool stuff. The Heaven That Dwells Within is the name of the album.
That's correct.
The Scourge, Local Guys, had a very good solid thrash metal album this year.
Fuck, we're still working on setting up something live with them for a live podcast, so maybe next month or something. But, it's very late 80s, early 90s, like progressive thrash, you know?
Yeah.
When bands were, trying different things, and I love that era of thrash metal.
it's still very thrashy, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I know what you're, that era, there was a lot of the thrash bands got real experimental.
Yeah.
It's like just before that experimental break.
Yeah.
It's still very classic thrash.
Yep.
In a lot of ways. I really enjoyed the new Devin Townsend. Not all of it. But okay. The parts that I liked, I really liked.
Yes, yeah, so I probably listened to this album more than a lot of other albums this past year. I didn't love it. I liked it, but
I loved
the more
parts of it.
Yes, the more I listened to it, the more I sort of wrapped my mind around what he was doing. Mm-hmm. The more I started to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It wound up being number 5 for me.
Okay.
It's not my favorite Devin Townsend album.
Not mine either.
Everybody's like,
shot.
It's not your number one? No.
Not by a long shot.
And until a few weeks ago, it was actually lower in my list.
I will say, though, that Spirits Will Collide
yes.
is one of my favorite songs this year.
6'6 Samus is a fucking sick drummer, and I love that dude. If you ever watched his YouTube videos, go watch him. We were watching him earlier a little bit. He's
the drummer guy?
Yeah, the drummer. He's fucking phenomenal.
I'll have to check that out. One that surprised me, this was, again, kind of a late addition, and I haven't had a lot of time to really digest it, but the new Bludau Snored, Hallucinogen.
Mm-hmm. I have heard it.
Weird as shit and
yep.
awesome. I dig it. I'm going to have to spend more time with it and get a little bit more familiar with it, but I really enjoyed it. One of my favorites this year, I'm getting kind of down to the end.
Yeah.
One of my favorites this year is one I introduced you to a few weeks ago, Church of the Cosmic Skull.
Yes.
Everybody's Going to Die.
Yep.
I love this album.
They're like a 60s retro.
They sound like, I described them to you as they sound like a bunch of 70s hard rock guys joined a hippie commune.
Yeah.
And this is the music that they came up with.
And they live, all very, and they grew up listening to the Beach Boys.
Yeah, it's all very, like, it's kind of...
I listened
of,
to their first album.
It's poppy,
mm-hmm.
yes, very very kind of 60s, 70s poppy with a kind of a hard rock edge, but it's also all, like, about the devil and occultism.
Yeah.
And it's like hippie music, but with a dark side. I said to you that I think it would be fun if they did a tour opening for Ghost, because
right.
They're kind of doing similar things in very different ways.
They're in that
ways.
Same vein.
This is a great album. The title track is absolutely beautiful. One of my favorite songs of the year. So yeah, Church of the Cosmic Skull. It's kind of a different thing for my list, but I really liked it. But my number one has been my number one since the day it came out.
I'm trying to think about what it would be.
You have any ideas? Any guesses?
There was no new Behemoth album this year.
No new Behemoth album this year.
Can you
this
give me,
album
give me
came
a
out on February 1st, and I knew the day it came out, the first time I listened to it, that this was going to be my album of the year. And I didn't just leave it there because I had already made that prediction. This is my album
what
of the year.
What does it start with?
What does it start with?
What's the first letter of the band?
S.
Okay, I don't know.
Sowen.
Oh,
Lotus,
okay.
By far and above my favorite album.
I just started appreciating this album like this past few weeks. I listened to it when it came out. I'm like, okay, it's a good Sowen album. But yeah, there's some good stuff on this album.
This was the first time I listened to it. I felt like I already knew the songs, but not.
Yeah.
That's all compliment. There's nothing about that implies that they're rehashing stuff or that they're, you know, that it's stale or dry. This is, it's new, it's different enough, but the songwriting is so good that I felt like I already knew these songs. The second time I played it through, I'm already singing along to just about every track.
Much
somewhere.
Better than New Leprous.
That was my biggest disappointment of
yeah.
the year, was the New Leprous
Me
album.
Too.
What the fuck happened? 'Cause Melina was... has stayed one of my favorite albums since it came out.
Yes.
Leprous is a great band. Melina was fucking
phenomenal.
Awesome. I don't know what happened on this last album. That was my disappointment. But yeah, Sowen number one, this was the album I needed this year. It was not just musically interesting, but it was actually kind of, it was very meaningful for
yes.
me throughout the course of the year as well. So,
I'll go through my top list real quick. Of course, we go into more detail on the latest episode of MSRcast, but Gatecreeper was on my list.
If I'd spent more time with it, it probably would have been online.
It is just fucking fun death metal written from a happy point of view type of thing. It's poppy death metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good.
Two words that don't belong together.
But it works. It does work, dude. One band that really... I was trying to get into this album, and then I finally listened to, like, the orchestral version of it. And then it clicked on me, the new Sabaton.
The Great War?
Yeah.
I listened to it a couple of times, and I didn't like it, but I never really went back to it.
See, that was my thing, too. Going further, Beelzebubs, the New Life of Agony, I wish it was higher in my list. But the first three or four songs on that album are great, and some of that album is not good. It's just not good. The new Hammerfall, the new Death Angel, Worm Witch is on my list. Hellivorn. Did you hear Hellivorn?
Nope.
Phenomenal Death Doom, dude. It's amazing. Okay. Glory Hammer. I had so much fun listening to that Glory Hammer album all year. It's just saying the band name, the songs are stuck in my head. That's how good it is. Then Lucidity is number 11. Borknagar, November's Doom, Meadow's End, Nailed to Obscurity.
I forgot about that Meadow's End.
So same thing. It's just fun. Will to Run, Devin Townsend. Guess what my number four is? This might surprise the fuck out of you.
Then surprise me.
Exorder.
Well, as much as you've been talking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I've listened to this album so much. And then Swallow the Sun, number two is Aventasia.
Okay.
And number one was Insomnium.
Okay.
That's my quick down and dirty list.
Honorable
mentions. I got 50, and then I got my honorable mentions here. I can go through those.
That's good.
I was going to lay down a couple of quick honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Blood Incantation. Had you listened to that
album? Yes, I have. It's on my list.
Solid shit. It's good stuff. I had another one. Where are you? The new Tool I can't make sense of. It's very weird.
I listened to one.
You're not a Tool fan.
I'm not a Tool fan.
I am a Tool fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This album I don't understand.
It sounds like leftover tracks from their previous recordings.
If it came out 15 years ago, would it be better?
It is. It's like after 10 years. Like, that's what we got?
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
They didn't do anything new like they normally do with their next album.
Batushka had a new album this year. It was good, but not nearly as good as their debut.
Sure.
Refusal put out a really solid album like back in January.
Oh, wow.
Just good, like, straight-ahead death metal shit. Similar with the new Misery Index, the kind of grind death metal stuff. Hooks for days.
Really?
I was going to say that, God. Too.
The new Misery Index is good shit.
Something I've listened to a lot this year.
Really?
It's good.
Yeah, it's
fun. I didn't spend enough time with it, but the new Evergrey was very good, but everybody else has talked that one to death.
It's on my list, but yeah.
You're breaking the rule. We don't mention that no more.
Yeah, well.
No, it's fine.
They're the abused ex band.
No, it's fine.
Bewitcher had a kick-ass album.
I never heard that.
Grand Magus had an okay album.
It was okay.
It wasn't as grand.
Bleak Flesh. No. Did you hear Bleak Flesh?
No.
Weird, like, proggy sci-fi death metal.
That sounds interesting. I would like that.
It's weird and cool. Okay. I picked that one up from our friend Josh, that drummer guy.
Yeah.
This was on his list.
Okay.
And I checked it out. It's worth a listen. So,
okay.
That's what I got.
Awesome.
Oh, and Gall's Weird was
cool. I did enjoy that, too.
It's pretty good.
Isn't that Wired or
Weird?
Is it Weird?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that weird, but...
The new Candlemass? What do we think about the new Candlemass?
I want to like it more than I do.
Same. The new Flesh God Apocalypse was really good, but I didn't spend enough time with it.
It's really good, but that one vocalist grates on my nerves.
Okay. Fair enough.
I like them live. They're fucking amazing. They're a great band. There's this one vocalist. He's super high-pitched.
Okay.
Oh, it takes me out of it.
Amon Amarth had a perfectly serviceable Amon Amarth album out this year.
Yeah, Amon Amarth put out a new Amon Amarth album.
Yes, they did.
I mean, there you go.
That's what they do.
Yep.
They put on, you know what though? I saw them,
but
they put on a great show.
But one of my favorite songs of the year is from the Amon Amarth album. Yep. That's the Wall. I can't think of the name, the full song title.
Shield Wall.
Yeah. That song is amazing. But, you know, there are songs on my top songs that weren't from my top albums.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What about you, George? Let's get into you.
I really like the new Soilwork album. That's apparently no one
I
ever
enjoyed it.
About.
We talked about it in January when it came out, and then I didn't listen to it anymore after that.
I really like it. I always
listened to it a few times.
Listening,
I like the one song with the singer from Amorphis. It's pretty. It's okay.
You already mentioned Meadow's End, which I listened to a lot this year.
Awesome.
And then we talked about Evergrey.
You like the new Evergrey?
I do. It sounds like their last stuff. They don't really change very much.
No.
No, that's an old album.
But I don't want that band to change. It's a band you don't want it to change style. Do you know what I mean?
To kind of break the not metal theme, sorry.
Yeah.
Or the metal theme.
No, it's fun. This isn't metal. This is music. Whatever you listen to.
So I listened to a lot of Nick Waterhouse. He's like this 1960s, like kind of like Elvis era, but modern with a modern twist to it.
Okay.
Kind of music.
And Elvis Costello or Elvis Presley?
Elvis Presley, but not as twangy as Elvis.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Sure.
His debut album came out this year, and I listened to that quite a bit. I listened to Health's latest album. I made y'all listen to that a couple of times.
It's the like synth pop type stuff.
Kind of, yeah. They're like,
I enjoyed that. I need to go back and listen.
They're really.
To it.
I even went to see them live when they came into town.
You know what I think you would enjoy? The new Voyager band. Not the band. The new album. It's very synth. They're a prog band from Australia, but this album is more synth prog, and it reminds me a lot of like Depeche Mode or Duran Duran or something like that. I think you would actually enjoy it.
Okay. Insomnium, I listened to a lot of that.
Fuck yes.
I don't know what year this album came out. I don't think Brutus came out with a new album. I could be wrong, though. I'm checking right now. Oh, they did come out with a new album. That is from that album. Yes, so Brutus, there's this album called Nest. There's a chick singer, but they're like hardcore thrashy punk.
Okay.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I found out about them in like 2017. They're pretty awesome. My favorite rapper of the year is Duckworth.
Who?
Duckworth.
Is he from DuckTales?
No, but sounds like it. If you watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, he had a song in the movie.
Is it like Run the Jewels type of rap or?
No, not really. It's different.
Hip hop or rap?
It's rap. It's what you would consider today.
We were watching something yesterday, and in the subtitles they were talking about hip hop, but it said hip hip.
Hip hip.
So I'm like, what is hip hip?
And then the Budos Band is something I always have in rotation.
Who?
The Budos Band.
Never heard of
that. BUDOS. They are a instrumental jazz punk group.
That sounds intriguing. I will check that out.
They're really awesome. Their new album came out, and it's probably the most polished album they've come out with.
Instrumental jazz punk.
Yeah. Well, they have punk and rock in there, but it's like instrumental jazz, heavy horns, and awesome guitar riffs.
Sounds interesting.
So yeah, that's what I've been listening to a lot this year.
Cool. Well, you know, let's take a quick break. Let's get into our top films. You ready to do that?
Are you guys ready to do that?
Are we ready to butt heads on some shit?
I mean, butt heads.
My list is laughable, but let's
that's okay. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
And it's movie time?
It is movie time.
All right.
Let's all go to the movies.
Okay. You have to stop the recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're not
going to movies right now.
Are you?
Yes.
In your mind, you can.
Oh, okay. All right. So, top movies. I went old school.
He wrote it down.
I wrote it
down. Handwritten paper.
Handwritten.
It's right.
Are these... Okay. you're the more you've seen a lot more movies than I have this year, and I know probably for Dave.
Possibly, I don't know if that's true.
Are these in the top? Are you top 10? Or
yeah, I've made a top 10 list with some honorable mentions.
Okay,
and yeah,
all right.
Yeah, these are my favorite movies of the top 10 favorite movies that I've seen this year, but not all my favorite movies of the year.
Gotcha. Let's do it.
Cool. Starting from number 10 with a bullet.
Oh, only number 10? I thought you were going to start at number 40.
What?
All right, let's do it.
It feels like that's a metal joke that I missed out on.
No.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Number 10, Terminator Dark Fate.
That's on my list.
Yeah? It's on your list?
I actually forgot it came out this year.
Really?
Yeah. It's a great movie.
All right. I did enjoy it quite a bit. It's a sad thing that no one else really enjoyed it as much as some of my inner circle of friends
did. I didn't see it. I really wanted to.
It really captures the fun and the action and some of the terror that the original 1980, was it 89 or 88?
The original movie?
Yeah, I can't remember what year.
I think it was earlier than that.
Was it earlier?
It was like 85.
Yeah.
No, 84. Yeah, 84 or 85.
84, I think.
Yeah, so Terminator 2 came out in 92.
Yeah, 92. Yeah.
Right. So it kind of captures the spirit of those two and kind of melds them together in this really cool way. The only thing I didn't like about this movie, and it's just nitpicking, it just kind of like the events of this movie kind of like undercut everything that happened in Terminator 1 and 2. Like, Terminator 1 and 2 don't matter anymore.
But that's always kind of been the Terminator formula, is that we fuck with our own timeline so
and
that things
I kind of wanted them to do something new, and they didn't really do anything super new.
Like, but it was still a fun movie.
It was fun. Like, I had a great time. Arnold's never been better. Like, this is probably the best
emotion
Arnold has ever portrayed on screen.
What is the new Terminator? What is his
I forget. It's the guy of 1000 or something like that.
He was from
he was Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider on Agent of the Shield. He was great.
Yeah, he was awesome, scary
yeah.
at times. All right. So number 9, Art of Self-Defense.
Have not seen that yet.
With Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes.
I think it's out available for rental now. This movie is kind of like if Karate Kid took place in a real world like stakes. Like if Karate Kid was in like real life and violence was really a thing to worry about. It's about this guy who gets mugged and he doesn't know how to deal with his life and he has PTSD. So he decides to sign up for this really shitty local karate class. And the instructor is like misogynism to the nth power. Like he's all about like male toxicity.
Okay.
And it's just it's a comedy. It's a dark comedy. Shit goes bad really fast.
I hadn't even heard of this movie.
It's really good. If you have a chance to see it, or if you want to spend some money to rent a comedy, I recommend this. Jesse Eisenberg's in it.
What's it called again?
The Art of Self-Defense. Yep. Also a Austin filmmaker.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I forget the filmmaker's name, unfortunately. Number 8, Booksmart.
Have not seen that yet. It's on my watch list. But
probably one of the funniest movies I've seen this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's literally a classier version of Superbad, as Superbad didn't talk about dicks all the time.
It's funny because like one of the main girls is Jonah Hill's sister.
Is she? Is she really?
She was also in What We Do in the Shadows, a TV show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She plays the nerd with the glasses.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's who that was.
She's not wearing glasses in this movie, so I didn't recognize
it. What was the name of this one again?
Booksmart.
I remember seeing ads for that one.
This is Olivia Wilde's
debut. I was about to say Olivia Wilde, yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's a shame. This is also one of those movies that not a lot of people saw in the theaters.
I heard a lot of comparisons to Superbad.
It's the same thing. It has it has the same kind of themes.
I saw Good Boys, which is sort of along that line, and it was okay.
Good Boys was okay.
It sort of felt a little forced.
It doesn't even make my honorable mention.
I said I saw it.
I saw it too. I mean it was fun for what it was, but not my favorite of the year. Number 7,
Wasn't
John Wick Booksmart. 3.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, have you seen that yet?
Not yet.
Dude,
I hadn't seen any of them.
So,
and I watched the first two in preparation for this one and then I never saw it.
So the plot wise, it's terrible. Like the plot doesn't make any lick of sense, and it
never
doesn't,
has.
And it never doesn't. Well, the first one made sense, and the second one was kind of like world building. It was
the world building in the second one was cool as shit.
Yeah, world building the movie is what they should have called the second one, And the third one was kind of like world building. Throw it out the window. Everybody's an assassin.
Well, it took like it took place like 5 minutes after the second movie started.
Yeah,
ended,
most definitely.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the action sequences in the first like hour of the movie, it's just some of the best action.
Him
I've
riding
seen.
Through that horse on
yeah,
the
it
horse
was great.
Through the city. It's crazy.
I
shit.
Mean, they used a real horse for that, and yeah. like none of it was like super. Well, I mean, they did CGI for some stuff, but it was super cool.
That one fight that he was in during I guess it was like that little hallway with all the knives and shit.
Oh, the pawn shop. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was probably the funnest fight in the movie.
Yeah. And then fighting the guy from Iron Chef America.
Yes. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It was funny to see him in the movie.
The chairman.
How much he worshipped Keanu Reeves' yeah. character. It was pretty great. Number six, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Higher on my list.
Really?
Yes.
Much higher on your list. Quentin Tarantino, you know, doing what he does best, showing his love for old school Hollywood. This is really like a hangout movie. The reason why this movie is so high on my list is just how awesome Leonardo DiCaprio is in this movie.
Agreed.
He wins all the Oscars.
Brad Pitt is amazing in this movie, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but like, Leo acted circles around everybody in
I have never had that thought about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
Like, he's actually a good actor.
Like he doesn't deserve that Oscar for Revenant, but he deserves the Oscar for this movie. Like he did an awesome job.
His best role since Growing Pains.
Wow. That's rough. I would say What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Okay.
Number five, so we're in our top fives now.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4.
It's in your top five, really?
Yeah, it rounds out my top five.
Interestingly, that was number six for me.
Good
not
job.
In my top
All
five.
Right.
It's probably for me number 10-ish.
Really? That low?
Okay. I haven't watched it again. I've only watched it once.
Uh-huh.
I've only watched it once, too.
So, I saw it in the theater. I went to this movie theater on time. The movie was already playing. I'm like, oh, what is this? Like the little preview before it? Like there was like a short.
Like a short, yeah.
But it was like the movie was going. I'm like, all right.
You were late to your movie?
No, I was on time.
You know what?
Were you 30 minutes early?
No.
Well, you were late.
Then you were late.
No. I came the time the movie was supposed to start.
The very first scene in the movie, I feel like is really important to the whole rest
of
the
movie. It really is. Like it.
I saw it, but...
It tees up the whole movie.
The movie just felt... It didn't feel like a theater-worthy movie to me.
I totally disagree.
It felt sort of like... It felt like a direct-to-DVD type sequel.
I don't think so. I thought Toy Story 3 was the perfect ending.
Yes.
It was.
But I was wrong. Toy Story 4 is the perfect ending. Because all the movies have always been about Woody.
Yes. And it's about Woody's growth. It's how Woody's
and
world
expands. And at the end of Toy
don't
Story...
Don't say Woody's growth again.
And at the end of Toy Story 3, you don't really get real closure on Woody because you don't really know what kind of toy he wants to be. Mm,
okay.
And in Toy Story 4, you really discover that even though he's not wanted anymore, he can still find self-worth. And that's amazing.
That's an interesting take on it. We actually... me and my wife did a lot of analysis on the story arc of Woody through the course of the Toy Story movies. And I didn't really hit on that point that at the end... Because 3 is such a satisfying ending.
Yes, it is. For
trilogy.
The group.
For the group, it's so good. And like that movie, when that movie rolled credits, everyone was like... Perfect.
Yeah, tears rolling.
Everyone's crying.
Yeah.
That was the perfect ending. And so when they said they were doing 4, I went, I don't know that they need to do that.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was really reluctant to this movie.
I was too. But it was... If they continue from this point, that's a mistake.
They should just keep the shorts.
The shorts are fine. Yeah. Shorts are great. But they need features. Toy Story needs to be done at this point.
This is really the bow on
it
the,
really
on
was.
The box.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it a lot.
I enjoyed it a lot too. And also, the relationship between Woody and Forky is so... I thought I was going to hate Forky when I saw him in the trailer, but it's so important to the movie and to his growth of his character, because it shows him who he needs to be.
I can agree with that, but Forky feels like such a cash grab.
Why?
Well, let's make merchandise out of this new cool little character.
There's not tons, though.
There's crappy toys.
Yeah.
Well, it's a crappy toy to begin with.
Well, it's true.
Really.
But his whole existence is to expand the universe and to, like I say, further Woody's character more.
Yeah.
Well, and it expands on what the concept of what a toy is.
Yeah.
And that's key for Woody's development at this
Most
point.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think we talked up Toy Story 4 quite a bit. Right. It's coming out on Disney Plus soon. So
is it?
Yeah, I think in and they have late January. Or something.
Okay. They have the Forky shorts on Disney.
Yeah,
Plus.
I've been watching.
I've watched
those.
A few of those.
I've watched a couple of them. They're pretty good.
All right, so number four. I think you're all gonna be surprised what my number four is. You ready? Avengers Endgame.
Number what?
Yeah.
Wait. There's a Marvel movie in your top five?
Yeah, there's
five?
A Disney movie and then a Marvel movie.
I am surprised.
Yeah. It is... How do I say this without being too mean to another franchise? This is the movie everything... Every big franchise movie wants to
yes.
be. Like, it perfectly...
You're talking about Star Wars right now.
I'm really talking about Star Wars.
Oh, I thought you were talking about DC, but...
Well, other franchises too, I guess. But Avengers Endgame is the perfect culmination of 10 years of all those characters and all that investment that
I agree.
People have put into.
It was and a good... had a good payout. You were invested in the characters,
definitely.
And everything worked... Not worked the way you wanted to, but it worked
people,
the way it should have.
Some people didn't like the slow opening. I thought that's what made the movie great.
Yeah.
Because that slow burn into the action end is what really gives you emotional for all those characters.
But that
yeah.
slow,
I agree with
that
you.
Slow burn in the beginning of the movie is showing how despondent they were and how bad things were for them after the snap.
Most definitely.
You couldn't just go in that like a happy, oh, we're fixing it already. No.
Sure, yeah.
You couldn't do it.
This was number two for me.
Really?
Number one for me, actually.
Now, I
could have guessed that.
I said this during the break, but not on the air. I counted 15 new movies this year, and most of those were with my children. So my top 10 list might be a little bit laughable.
No, not laughable. It's skewed.
It is skewed.
That's okay.
It is skewed. But yeah, Endgame was number two for me. I agree. It was like perfect end to this era.
And
it was everything that we wanted it to be.
I know I talked a lot of shit about Infinity War last year, and I still stand by that. Like, Infinity War is not a good movie. It's just a setup to another to a
Endgame
better movie.
Is a far better movie.
Yeah,
than
it's just
War.
A setup to a better movie. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say. This is definitely in my top five of Marvel movies.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm really happy the way it ended. I'm very curious where he's going to go from here. Even though some of the time travel stuff doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
A little
timey-wimey.
Yeah. I mean, what time travel in a movie makes sense, to be fair?
Bill and Ted.
Does it make sense?
Of course it does. They go to the mall, dude. Come on.
So anyway, Endgame is great. I'm sure everyone's seen it by now. I mean, it got over $1 billion at the theaters
right.
and plus that some. So anyway, number three, this was kind of divisive with people who saw it in theaters. Critics really loved it, but audiences were kind of lukewarm and kind of hot on it. Depending.
Usually the other way around.
Yeah. So Jojo Rabbit was my number three.
This is very high on my I need to see this movie list, and I haven't.
So, I finally got to see this last Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I love this movie.
No, you do.
I do.
I was afraid you weren't going to like it.
No, I think it had the right amount of comedic chops from Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
It had the right emotional punch for me. It was serious with being awkward at the same time and just being weird.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good.
The metaphor is the satire about, like, stop being evil. I mean, look how bad nepotism brings you to.
Yeah.
And the idea of, like, what lures little children to like hateful things is
and
was
war
very
is bad.
Yeah, war is bad. But his fat friend.
Yes.
What's his name? I can't remember.
I know what you're talking.
The kid with the glasses. He's
yes.
a chubby kid. He steals the show.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about that kid. He made a point. He's like, I think that kid died way earlier in that movie, and it was just his imaginary friend at that point. I was like, I didn't think about that, but
I don't think that's what happened.
I don't know. Good.
It's just the wonky world of. Of some weird version of 1945.
Yes.
Also, what's her face? Who played his mom?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. Man, she was so good in that movie. She's having a heck of a year.
She
with
is.
Marriage Story, which I haven't seen
yet. I haven't
yet,
seen
but
yet
I've
either.
Heard nothing but good things. And then Endgame.
And then Black Widow's coming out.
Yeah, well, I'm not really here nor there about that.
Same.
So, yeah, I mean,
I'm more interested in the Black Widow to see David Harbour's character. That's really
the fat Russian man.
Yes.
With the Red Guardian, is that his name?
I think so. That sounds right.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for that many, many times, and it looks okay. I'm not super stoked yet, but I'll probably still enjoy the movie. Yeah, I really did like Jojo Rabbit. It's something I wanted to see in the theater, which is so weird. We decided, hey, there's only one showing per night at our theater. It was like a 9:50, so we're like, let's go to it. We went to dinner, we got our seats, picked our seats, pulled into the parking lot, and guess who pulls into the spot next to us?
Taika Waititi.
No, Justin and Erica pulled up next to us.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
And then they were on the same row, but on the opposite end. It was just like weird. We're like, all right. But I had some guy like sitting next to me during a whole movie, had a bag full of some kind of like maybe corn nuts or something he was eating. Or
he was a Nazi.
He was fucking loud. He might have been.
Yeah.
Loud Nazi.
Only Nazis bring loud food to theaters.
That's probably what they showed in the theaters, like before the movie. Don't bring loud food to a theater.
Or don't bring food into a movie theater. That's true. That's, you know, takes away their profits. But anyway.
And they need the profits too.
Top two. Here we go.
All right.
Number two, which I'm surprised by, and it's also not a movie that went to theaters. Dolomite Is My Name.
It's on my list too.
It's my number two movie of the year.
I don't know if it's that high for me, but
it is so good. There hasn't been a movie that come out this year to instill hope and passion and the idea of, like, if you just believe in yourself enough, it's possible.
Has part of my favorite filmmaking tropes in that movie.
Movies about making movies?
Exactly right. Yeah. I love that.
It's the same writers who wrote Ed Wood and Craig Brewer, who directed A Hustle and Flow.
I never saw that.
And Black Snake Moan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Everybody was really good, and Eddie Murphy was fantastic.
Eddie Murphy's fantastic. I'm so on board for the new Eddie Murphy essence that's right upon us.
Did you watch SNL with him on it?
I did. It was okay. Like, it was cool. I'm just still not I don't think I'm an SNL fan. I'm glad that he brought back all his old bits.
Yeah. Gumby, damn it.
Yeah. I was never a huge Gumby fan.
Gumby fan.
And anyway. I'm ready for Coming to America 2, which is awesome. It's the same people who wrote and directed Dolomite, so I'm ready for this
one. Oh, wow.
And Dolomite's great.
Coming to America. That's one of my favorite movies of his.
And if you have Netflix, Dave, check it out.
Okay.
I've
heard good things about it, but I don't know anything about this movie.
You don't have to. So. Less you know, the better. Because after watching this, I had to go see the original movie just to see if what they were doing was bullshit. Okay. And it's not bullshit.
Okay.
It's legit that stupid.
So it's a movie about the filming of an actual movie?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's about this guy named Rudy Ray Moore. Rudy Ray Moore. And he's
in the 70s.
He's like an older man who never made it as a musician. He wanted to be a singer, and then he's like, well, fuck it, music's not my thing, maybe I'll do a comedy album instead. Everyone's liking this Richard Pryor guy, all he does is cuss a lot.
Okay.
And so he tried that, and nobody was buying his shit, and then he decided to, like, self-finance his own comedy albums, and it blew up, and he made this character in his comedy albums called Dolomite,
yep.
And which eventually they decided to make it into a movie, and
okay. This
is the movie about that.
All right.
So yeah, that was my number two. So
numero uno,
number one from the very top. I mean, I already know what it is. I'll have to look at the paper, but I'm doing it for effect.
All right.
Number one. This is the movie I had the most fun at in the theaters all year.
I'm looking. I don't know.
Number one, Knives Out. Is the most fun I had in the theater. I'm a huge fan.
It looked super fun.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's great. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. And like, if you like mystery or Agatha Christie types movies or stories at all,
I saw this movie.
Oh, you did?
I did. It's not my number one. I did enjoy it a lot. Everybody was great. Everybody was like weird character acting in this movie.
They were perfect characters. It's a great ensemble of actors.
But here's my main problem with that movie: is they gave away a lot of the stuff too early.
I think that's the beauty of the movie, because it takes the formula and turn it upside down.
It does. Yeah, I'll give you that, but they spoil the whodunit way too early for me.
but it became a two different movies.
Yeah,
like, this which is great. I don't, it's,
you know, what movie I'm surprised is not on your
genius.
List. That movie we saw in Austin together. That
I forgot about that before I made the list, and I also figured it was never U.S. theatrically released, so not a lot of people would have seen it. But it is on Shudder. You're talking about One Cut of the Dead.
One Cut of the Dead.
I
yeah,
love that movie so much. It's great.
I did.
But you can't see it in the U.S.
I was tired. I was tired and
oh, we were
drunk
all tired and very drunk,
and I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah, it was
that's
great.
How much I liked it.
It's I don't want to spoil it or anything for anyone who's going to watch it, but it's basically about these. Is it Japan?
Yeah,
it's Japanese, right?
Yeah,
this Japanese film crew making a low budget zombie movie, and
the first part of the movie is like in one take,
right?
Okay.
Well, actually, the whole movie is made to look like one take,
right?
Until you get what you think yeah. is the end of the movie, and then the credits roll, and it's not the end of the movie. And it's great.
It's fun. It's definitely worth watching.
It's unique and very...
What's the guy who did... I haven't seen Parasite yet, which everybody's like raving about that. He said, "What if
you can get over the one-inch
subtitles, movies, your world of movies can open up."
That's true.
I felt like that was his movie. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I've been
probably
watching
foreign
movies since I was a kid, so I never had that issue. So anyway, that's my top 10. I have some honorable mentions.
Let's hear them.
Honorable mention, it's a newer movie, animated, called Klaus or Kloss.
I started to watch it.
Yeah?
I had to leave or something in the middle of it.
Is this on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
But yeah, the family was watching it. I think I had to leave in the middle. But the part of it that I saw, I was like, this is really cool, and yeah. I want to watch the rest of
it's
it. And
really
I never went
good.
Back and
it's
finished
really
it.
Really good. I'm glad I watched it the night before we had Christmas Eve.
Because mm-hmm.
It really set in that feeling for Christmas, I guess.
That was the thing, is I ran out of time, and then Christmas came and went. And I'm like, it doesn't feel right to watch it now.
Yeah, it would be a little weird, yeah. I guess. And it is a Netflix original, so I guess you can watch it next
but,
year.
But like I said, what I saw of it was really good.
The animation
really interesting.
It's very like pulling on those old school Disney heartstrings,
mm-hmm.
and they like
what I got had, like, of the story was like they're gonna do something kind of heavy with this. It felt like
sort of
heavy in a like heartwarming way.
I think the best way to explain it is they try to explain the story of Christmas in a realistic but heartwarming, magical way.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the first Christmas ever. That's basically the best
animated.
Way. Animated, yeah. Okay. And it really, like I said,
CGI
it,
or like
it's CGI, but it looks 2D.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid.
Okay,
almost.
It's a French company. They're making a lot more movies like this, and it's pretty good. I if you haven't seen it, I know it's not Christmas anymore, but if you're in a mood for a Christmas movie, it's really good. I wasn't sure about the movie because like 15 minutes into the movie, it's like really too like Emperor's New Groovy for me. Like
a little bit. I can see what you mean. Because in the beginning, it's the first of the movie doesn't have anything to do with
it. It has
Klaus.
Nothing to do with the back end, yeah.
It's all about this other
character.
And he's very...
Emperor's New Groove. Yeah.
I guess. You know what? That's funny that you say that, because I actually remember having the thought sitting there watching it going, they wish they had David Spade to do this part. I remember thinking
that
thought.
He sounds kind of like David
Spade.
Yeah,
he sounds like David Spade. His delivery is a little bit Spade-ish. I remember having that thought watching it, that they wish they'd gotten David Spade to do this role.
Other honorable mentions, Us.
I finally watched that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. My HBO told me.
Yeah, I know. I like the first part of it. I wasn't a big
fan
of it.
I like it right up to the end.
Yeah.
I think it's great right up into those last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Those last 10, 20 minutes, kind of like, eh. But the tension, the way it's filmed, it's interesting. Like, he's doing something new.
I like the scene where they went to that other people's house, and what was it? Run DMC or something, or... NWA, whatever music they played on their Spotify or on the
Echo Center. Yes, yeah, when they were saying call the police or whatever, and it said fuck the police instead. Yeah,
but there was another song after it. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember
that. It just went into. I'm like, this is like, it was just a perfect way to put music into that movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a good filmmaker, but there is just, I think it just tried to get a little too weird at the end.
I don't think weird is the right answer. I just didn't like the story beats. Yeah. I didn't follow. I don't think the story
was too Twilight Zone-y at that point. You're like,
well, the whole movie is it's pulled on those kinds of heartstrings. Next is The Missing Link.
Have not seen that.
Leica's latest
affair. I can't believe I missed this one, because I really liked
it. It won a Golden Globe, though.
Did it really?
It was the best animated movie.
There you go. I'm not too far off the mark, then.
I'm surprised I missed that one.
Zach Galifianakis
was not unbearable. Like, I thought he was going to be unbearably bad.
Do you hate Zach Galifianakis?
I don't hate him. I hate his...
I tolerate him
shtick.
In spurts.
Yeah, in spurts. And like, in his shtick at times.
Yeah.
But I don't want hangover jokes for a whole hour, you know? And in this one, he's very endearing, and you really want him to achieve his goal. And Hugh...
Did you watch the Between Two Ferns, the movie?
No, I didn't even bother. I did.
What? I didn't see the point. But, no, but Kubo and the Two Strings is probably one of my favorite animated movies I've ever seen.
Most definitely.
Laika is just on an upward trajectory.
They did Coraline too, right?
Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
That was their first one.
Yeah.
The Missing Link had a little bit too much CGI for me.
Okay.
It was like a mixture between CGI and
stop motion.
But fucking Wolverine, what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman was great. He was a great voice actor for the Explorer. And I'm really into those like Explorer type stories, and they're kind of poking fun at it, which is great. Next, I only have two more. How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I really liked all those movies. I think the first one's the best.
I think I've seen the first one. I don't really remember it all.
But the third one's a really good conclusion to the series as a whole.
I feel like maybe my kids went and saw that with somebody else, and I wasn't there. But I've liked the series. I've liked the series so far. I'm not like a huge fan of the series, but I've enjoyed the movies that I've
if you watch
seen,
it in so. Together, like if you movie marathon it, it's an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
I watched it recently. That's why I say that.
I need to, probably catch up before I see the third one.
It's out. Yeah. Okay. And then lastly, a movie that totally surprised me that I enjoyed was Shazam.
Me too.
I didn't think I was going to enjoy that movie.
I haven't watched it. It looked terrible.
It did look terrible.
It's not terrible, though. It's actually
not terrible.
It's endearing and funny.
Okay.
Like, I thought I was going to hate it. Like, I legit thought I was going
to hate it. For good reason.
Yeah.
You felt that way.
I did. And and I rented it. And then after I rented it, I was like, all right, I'm buying this movie. Like, the monsters are, like legit creepy and scary looking.
That surprised me.
Why?
Because
the director is a horror director, so it makes
sense. Right. Who directed it?
Lights Out guy.
Okay,
that's
right.
He also did Annabelle 2.
Which is, it's a light... hearted superhero movie, but the villains like those
super
parts,
creepy.
Yeah, they're evil.
Yeah, well, they're the seven deadly sins.
Yeah,
so makes
but
sense.
I didn't think they were going to go
that far
into it. I'm like, oh definitely. Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, and my only complaint is I think they made Billy Batson too old. That's my biggest complaint. Really,
I don't know. I think it's okay.
I am a Shazam fan from the comics, but it's very I pick and choose the ones that I like. And Billy Batson, to me, works best when he's a 12 or 13-year-old trying to stick up for like people smaller than him. And they made him like 16, 17 in this movie, which I don't know how much growth you're going to get out of that. Because eventually, he's going to look like a grown man. He doesn't need to say Shazam anymore.
Yeah, you might be right.
So, anyway, that's my favorite movies of the year.
All right.
Top 10 and honorable mentions.
What about you, Dave?
Okay, so I mentioned that my list skews heavily towards kids' movies, and I've picked out a top 10 out of the remaining
right.
things that I've seen. So let's laugh through my list together, shall we? Number 10, The Lion King. I didn't hate it. I hated some of it.
Really, though?
I hated some of it, honestly.
It was terrible.
Like
the worst live-action movie Disney's made.
It wasn't live-action.
On top of Aladdin.
It was CGI all the way through.
All the way through.
Okay, whatever.
They call it live action.
This makes
the reimagined series.
This makes it to my list simply because the other movies I saw I didn't like as much. maybe I might have replaced it with Frozen 2, which...
I didn't like Frozen 2.
Meh.
Actually,
meh.
I've never seen the first one, so I can't
You're
say.
Better. I don't like them. I don't like them. I'm like the Disney guy, and I don't like Frozen. I don't. Frozen 2 was... actually probably more tolerable than the first one.
Oh, yeah?
But my... It's not on my list, but I'm talking about it now. My problem with it is... and I have to credit my wife with this observation, but I think she's dead on. It's like they didn't expect you to like this movie, so they're relying on the first one.
Really?
It's lots of callbacks.
A lot of nostalgia.
A lot of like, hey, remember from the first movie?
So they
you remember that time?
Prize.
It was like... I like that. It was like Chris Farley describing.
You remember that?
Remember
time?
That time in the first movie? When you did this?
There's a lot of that in the second.
It was great.
However, however, there's some really good animation. In
the
Frozen
trailer
2.
Looks very epic.
It's
the water animation is beautiful.
Really well. There's some real. There is some good stuff in that movie, but whatever. The Lion King, I chose over that only for the opening sequence. Because
how does it go? Can you sing it to me?
Same thing as the
yes.
animated movie.
Yes,
I'm not sure how it
they
goes.
Complete...
Can you hum that?
No. I loved that actually. That's actually what I loved about the movie was the opening sequence. Everything else was kind of meh. The opening sequence I loved when the original Lion King came out. That opening sequence was groundbreaking on numerous levels.
Oh, yeah.
There were animation techniques that were being presented. There.
The original Lion King is in my top
there.
Five.
It's one of
Disney
the best animated
ever.
Movies ever made.
Yeah, right yes. next to Aladdin.
And to me, I just enjoyed seeing them basically recreate that shot for shot with new technology. And I liked it. I thought it was really well done, the opening sequence. The rest of the movie, okay.
My I think we talked about this earlier when we first saw it all together. The biggest problem with Lion King is that they're too animal-like. Like, mm-hmm. you can't tell if they're angry or sad or...
Maybe.
You can't... There's no emotion to convey.
This wasn't
and
nearly...
all the voice acting was terrible.
The voice acting was not great. Also, the musical number with Beyonce was fucking awful.
Yeah,
it
casting
was
a terrible
bad.
Choice.
It
yeah.
was bad.
All you had to do was stop it.
I liked John Oliver as Zazu. That made sense.
Well, because he sounds just like
he's
the original
Rowan
guy.
Atkinson. Yeah, like that.
Was it Rowan Atkinson?
Rowan Atkinson
yeah.
was the original
so he
Zazu.
Just like him.
Right, it was perfect.
Yeah,
he was
so
dead
it makes
on.
Sense. I didn't hate Seth Rogen. And
actually, Seth.
What's the other guy?
Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner.
They were good. I liked them.
They were the shining.
They were
the silver lining of this
they were,
shit movie.
They were good.
There was a couple of, breaking the fourth wall moments. Like their part where Timon, he's like, "Aren't you going to do the hula thing?" He's like, "No, that was a different thing. I'm not going to do that."
Yeah.
And like,
oh, they did that in the animated too.
I know, but they made a joke about it.
Okay.
Keegan-Michael Key was fine, but
he's
like,
always good.
They totally wished Eric Andre was Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wrong about
that.
No,
right? You're not
like,
wrong.
They wrote Eric Andre's character
for Jordan
planning
Peele.
On
Jordan
being,
Peele
planning on Jordan Peele being,
movies.
Yes, exactly right. They planned on
he
Eric
was
Andre's
on Toy
character
Story 4.
Being Jordan Peele. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
That comes out of Disney Plus soon, too.
Not going to give that more time than it's worth.
It's out already, actually.
So
no, not yet.
You sure?
End of the month, I think.
My number nine, this was a stupid, stupid movie that I really enjoyed watching.
Okay.
Kids movie. Dora and the Lost City of Gold. It's dumb as shit, and it knows it's dumb as shit.
So it's
and it plays
like
to it.
A dumb Indiana Jones for children.
Yes, it is exactly what it is. It's a stupid Indiana Jones for children, and it knows exactly what it is, and it plays all of those jokes. It's dumb. It's fun. I had fun watching it.
Well, it's Nickelodeon,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Did it end with a musical number?
Yes. Yes, it did. Come
really?
To think of it. Yeah.
Why?
Who cares? I don't know.
Did she do a lot of the stuff from the TV show?
Yes.
Like,
she does
where
a lot
could
of,
he be?
Yes. No, she... And there's a lot... Like, actually, this was in the trailer, but the first time in the movie that you really... Like, Dora's doing her thing, and she's talking to the audience like Dora does in the show. And as she's doing that, her whole family's like looking around, like, who the fuck is she talking? And that's actually a part of her character in the movie, is that she talks to people who aren't there. Like, and
so
they,
she's crazy.
They play on and they play on that.
She's
and
a crazy person.
Yeah, they're like the
who
movie
has a purple
is
monkey.
Making fun of itself the whole time.
So I see
it's
the trailer.
It's a kid's movie. It's dumb. It's not like really
I mean,
intricate
it's
levels.
It's not any
of,
more dumber than like Good Burger.
Probably
the Tomb Raider Lite.
Let's stop with the Indiana Jones comparisons.
It stops at the part where he goes looks for treasure.
Right, that's about it.
Do they find the treasure?
They find the treasure.
That's
great.
Is the guy that she's hanging out with, that's the friend of the parents in the trailer, turn out to be the bad guy?
Well, it's something similar to that happens.
It's the Richie Rich storyline.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Number eight, Godzilla King of Monsters, because Godzilla fought fucking monsters, and I liked that. The movie was dumb as shit. Once again, the human element, just like the last Godzilla movie, was completely useless.
Yeah, it's saddlebagged.
Completely useless. It was.
But the fight scenes were cool.
The fight scenes were fucking awesome, and so it made my list. Number seven, It Chapter Two. I liked it. I didn't love it.
That's a great praise.
We had read it. Me and my wife had read the book.
What's it?
It's a interdimensional
monster
demon thing.
But what's it? You're not catching on.
He's doing that song.
No, I know what he's doing.
Okay.
He's ignoring it. It's a Faith No More thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the name of the song.
I liked It Chapter 2.
There's parts of it I liked.
But I didn't love It Chapter 2.
I liked Bill Hader in it.
Bill Hader
was awesome.
I thought the casting was really good.
James McAvoy was a terrible choice.
I didn't hate him.
He was just bland.
He's not,
yeah, but...
Can I say so something? He's not that great of an actor.
What?
Some of the stuff I've seen him in?
I mean, I don't like the movie Split, but what he did in that movie is great.
To be fair, his character is kind of bland.
Okay. Isn't he supposed to be like a movie writer that's depressed?
He's not a movie writer.
Or an author that's terrible.
He's Stephen writer. King's I'm writing myself into the story character.
Yeah, Stephen King's even in the movie.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He runs the antique store.
Yeah, that was a great cameo.
Yeah.
But
endings are shit.
That was one of the best lines.
It really was.
Well, but that was one of the best parts of the movie, was your endings are shit, because Stephen King has trouble wrapping shit up. But
so does JJ. Boom. Sorry.
Oh.
I just couldn't help myself.
But the James McAvoy's character is honestly okay. A lot of the other characters are way more interesting.
There's some really cool sequences in it too.
Yeah, there were. The ending was kind of nonsense and weird, but they did some stuff.
The book is kind of nonsense and weird too.
It is. But the book made more sense than the movie did.
Oh wow, go figure.
Yeah, go figure. Number six, Toy Story 4. We talked about that. Number five, Spider-Man: Far From Home. I just had fun watching it.
I don't have
a lot else to say about it. It was...
I liked the last... What was it? Last 4 minutes when he comes back from his trip. I was like, oh, wow, the movie's getting great. Oh, this is the end of the movie.
Number four, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
It's not Resistance. You almost said Resistance. Rise of Resistance.
And the ride?
Yeah, they opened the ride in the movie the same time with both.
Right,
they started with Rise.
Rise of the Resistance.
Come on, guys. Don't do that.
Star Wars made it to your top 10. Well, it's because of the few movies you've seen, right?
I liked the movie.
Oh my god, it's terrible.
You know what?
Now, I will point out that literally every Star Wars movie ever is bad.
That's not true.
They're all bad.
That's not true.
This
is literally, besides the prequels, maybe with the exception of Revenge of the Sith, this is one of the worst ones.
You're
ever
way
made.
Wrong.
I'm not.
No, you are.
Ask anybody. They will tell me.
Okay,
that I'm
anybody.
Right.
Are you anybody?
Yeah, it's number four on my list.
All right.
So
it's on my list, too.
It's terrible.
Number three was Captain Marvel. Again, I just had fun watching it. And that's kind of what that's kind of what it comes down to.
He's looking at me, just burning my eyes right now. If he had laser eyes, I'd be dead by now.
Thankfully, I don't.
Number two was Avengers Endgame, which we talked about. Number one was The Lighthouse.
I haven't seen that.
The Lighthouse was so fucking weird that we could not stop talking about it for like a week after we saw it.
It just came out on Redbox.
Did it?
Yeah.
Check it out.
I have a film.
I hear William Dafoe is like amazing.
Willem Dafoe is amazing. So is Robert Pattinson. They are both really fucking good, and they're the only two people in the movie.
It's on my list of things to watch.
Other people show up very sparsely. Like, you see other people in the movie, but for all intents and purposes, those are the only two characters in the movie. There's two characters in the movie, and that's it. Mm. It's the two of them.
Yeah, I figured as much from the trailer.
And they're both
It's just
awesome.
Like a descent into madness for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
Apparently he farts a lot.
He does fart a lot.
And, I've heard that.
And Robert Pattinson has to empty the chamber pots that are full of shit throughout several times through the movie.
Awesome.
You see the shit.
Great.
So he really is William Dafoe at that point.
This is the same director who did The Witch, which that was my top movie the year it came out as well.
Ari Aster? No, that's the...
That was...
Hereditary guy.
Yeah, no, this... it's Robert something.
Robert Eggers.
Yeah.
Eggers.
Did The Witch, which was my favorite movie that year.
One of the creepiest movies.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
It's just... It's art on film. Hmm? It's really...
I still haven't seen it.
It's a slow burn, so...
Very much so.
Put yourself, like, if you're tired, don't watch it.
And before you watch it, I'll give you some other kind of, like, primer. Here's what you need to be thinking about going into this movie.
And I recommend subtitles.
Because a lot of people hated it. Because The Witch was not... The Witch is in no way a traditional horror movie.
It's a fairy tale.
It's a
folk
tale. That's what I tell people if they haven't seen it and they're interested. I say it is a horror movie for the people in the movie. You have to kind of understand
the time,
witch
and place,
lore,
yeah,
and that time and era, because that's where the horror happens. Is it's horror for these people.
You know, if you like that movie, I think I mentioned this to you, but if you like that movie, there's a movie very similar with the same idea called The Wind.
Okay, you've talked to me about that. But The Lighthouse, I was very excited for because of Robert Eggers, and it's still his similar approach, a lot natural lighting.
Sure.
This movie is all black and white. Surprising to me, I wasn't expecting. It's all in a 4:3 mm-hmm. ratio.
Hmm. Apparently, it's to create the idea of claustrophobia and panic.
It kind
of
worked. The movie does deal very heavily with claustrophobia and cabin fever, that kind of thing. If you don't know about it, the very basic premise is it's the two of them, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe, are tending a lighthouse.
That's all you need to know.
That's it. So, and they're by themselves, they're isolated on this tiny little island operating this lighthouse.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Of course.
Some of it may be real, some of it might not be real. We
at
don't
that point,
know.
If you're drinking salt water, who knows?
They start drinking kerosene at one point in the movie, and that's when shit really gets crazy. Because essentially they lose track of time. They can't remember how long they've been here. They can't drink the water because the cistern is basically poisoned. So they're drinking very little water. They're drinking as much alcohol as they can. They run out of alcohol, and so they start filtering the spirits out of the kerosene, and they start drinking that instead.
Gross.
Yeah, totally gross. But by that point, they are filtering it, but they're already descending into madness prior to that point.
Wow.
But by the time
this is just a cherry on top.
By the time they start drinking kerosene, shit goes crazy. Credits rolled on this movie. And my wife and I both turned to each other and went, what the fuck just happened?
What did we watch?
And now, that in and of itself doesn't make a good movie. But then the conversations that followed beyond that point, we talked about this movie for days.
Wow.
Because that question
that's a good testament.
The question of what the fuck just happened, we thought about the question and talked about it for days afterwards.
Sure.
And so we came up with theories and ideas and everything about what's going on in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't come up with answers. We came up with a lot of
questions,
tenable theories.
Oh, great.
And I loved that.
Sure, yeah.
So if you like The Witch and that kind of filmmaking, I think you'll like The Lighthouse
I've been dying to see it. I just haven't made time to watch it yet.
When it ended, I wasn't sure that I liked it.
I had the same feeling when I watched The Witch.
Yeah.
Until I watched it the second time, I was like, man, this movie's really good.
Yeah.
So I see that. All right, Carrie. Let's hear it.
All right.
So I can tell you why Star Wars is terrible.
We don't have time for that.
We do have
we
all
don't,
the
actually.
Time for that. We should call this episode Rise of the Shit.
Okay. Let me start with some honorable mentions. I'm going to do it weird. I'm going to do it differently. Zombieland Double Tap.
Didn't see it.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be, a dumb Zombieland.
It looked like a movie that should have came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, kind of.
Well,
yeah.
If it came out right after it, yeah, sure. They definitely make jokes to that effect in the movie, which is great.
I'll watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Yeah. Let's see. Little Monsters is on my honorable list.
That's on Hulu, and I wanted to see that.
I really enjoyed
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, and she's in it, right?
Yes, Josh Gad.
And Josh Gad, he played. I'm sure he dies because you don't see him very much in the trailer.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
What movie was this?
It's basically she's a preschool teacher or elementary school teacher.
And they go on a field trip.
And the
zombie apocalypse happens.
Yeah. I have not heard of this movie.
It's
at
on
all.
Hulu, so if you have Hulu, check it out.
Yeah, I do.
It was fun.
I wanted to see it. I just I kept finding other things to watch before this.
Dr. Sleep was on my list.
I wanted to see it. Haven't seen it.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you didn't? I thought you had seen that one.
No, that was.
No,
just
I haven't seen it either.
I did like. Let's go. Let's talk Knives Out. I did enjoy it. I just saw that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Terminator Dark Fate is probably low on my top 10.
I mean, it barely made my top 10.
And like same with Toy Story 4, maybe. So let's go into my list. Spider-Man, Far From Home. Had a blast watching that movie.
It was okay. It's okay at
best. This is the part where you just seem to listen.
I'm responding.
Okay. You don't have to respond. That's
but I do.
This
is what people pay for.
Dolomite Is My Name.
It's great. Eddie Murphy.
Even if you agree or disagree, Captain Marvel's on my list.
That came out in 2019?
It did.
It came out like in March, right?
Holy shit.
We watched it getting on the cruise, and that was a great experience, hanging out on the cruise, because they show the movies in the pool deck when it goes to night. Hanging on the pool deck, on the chairs, watch a movie.
I thought it was a serviceable movie, but that's just kind of where it ends. I just think it's kind of too predictable and just okay. It's just a movie to tee up her for other movies.
Shazam is on my list. I enjoyed Shazam. It's one of the only DC movies I've enjoyed in a long time.
Probably will be the only one.
Probably the only one.
Well, until The Batman comes out.
Or I thought you were going to say Birds of Prey. I'm like, nope.
No. We saw the trailer today.
We did see the trailer. Jumping to my list recently is Jojo Rabbit. Probably number 5 for me. Number 5 or 6. Not really quite sure yet.
You haven't numbered these. You're just kind of naming movies you enjoyed.
John Wick 3.
Yeah.
Had a blast watching that.
Until like the last few minutes of the movie.
Here's one you're probably going to disagree with me.
Is it Star Wars?
Well, Star Wars is actually higher. I would put Star Wars next. I like Rise of Skywalker. I almost called it Rise of Resistance again.
It's terrible.
It's not terrible. You're terrible.
Okay, hold on. Let's hash this out right now.
What's
good about this movie? Okay, I take that back. There are some great moments in this movie, but that's where it ends. J.J. Abrams can't write a movie to save fucking life.
That's not the problem. The problem is it needed to have been split into two movies to give more story.
That's not an excuse, Carrie.
That is
not an excuse. Because they did it in Return of the Jedi, and they also did it in Revenge of the Sith. What the fuck? The problem is that they had way too many ideas, and they have a terrible writers who want to do everything and nothing, and they... trying to fix all the corrections from the previous movie, and what this movie really does prove is Disney had no plan on what to do with this franchise.
They had to wrap up not just this trilogy.
They didn't have to.
All 9 movies.
This movie is a terrible title, and it's also...
The title is bad.
The title is bad. It's not about Skywalker at all. It's about Rey. And the fact that she's a Palpatine is stupid. And the fact that she identity thefts fucking Kylo Ren. And Luke Skywalker. Why is she even on Tatooine? She has no connection to Tatooine.
That doesn't make sense.
None of the movie makes sense, Carrie.
They hated...
None of it. None of the movie makes sense.
Have a drink.
Why?
Calm down.
Hold on. I'm just saying. I'm just tired of people telling me I'm wrong, and I know I'm right. Why get rid of C-3PO's sacrifice? Why give him his memories back? It totally undercuts the whole reason why he did what he did. Why?
Because R2-D2 needed his friend back.
No, he didn't. No, he needed a sacrifice. Also, what the fuck was Poe Dameron doing the whole movie?
Being Poe Dameron?
And then why do we need a dagger that was made in ancient times to show us the future of the wreckage that happened in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about the dagger.
Yeah. One
when
item do, to lead
when
to the
do
other.
We hear that the dagger was made in ancient times?
They say that in, earlier on in the movie.
I didn't.
It was like,
I've seen it twice,
it came,
and I didn't
it was supposedly
catch that either time.
Found during the prequel era, like when...
Well, I didn't catch that either time I saw the movie.
Also, why not call it a holocron? Why Wayfinder?
Because it might be different than a holocron.
The holocrons are different.
It looks like a holocron. It works like a holocron.
No,
it should have been a holocron.
Holocrons do different things.
Yeah.
It holds information. That's all a holocron does.
This is more
this
like
a
compass.
This is a GPS
terrible,
device.
It's a Waze machine.
Terrible MacGuffin.
It's Google Maps.
They got MacGuffin for days in this fucking movie. All of a sudden, you introduce force healing. Where the fuck force healing's been this whole entire time? Force healing undoes everything about Star Wars.
No, it don't.
Yes, it does.
All right,
it
we're
was
moving
terrible
on.
In The Mandalorian, and it was terrible
we're
in
We're moving
this.
On to my next movie you're probably going to disagree with, too.
Just one more point.
Oh, God.
Anytime, if you have to ask, if you put why to this movie, it doesn't work.
Why
do they do this? Why do they do that?
Like a Y-wing?
Whatever. I'm just saying, there's just so much bad. It's really terrible, terribly paced, terribly written. The only thing that's great is Adam Driver, a couple of the saber fights, whatever. The Millennium Falcon skipping through warp space was fantastic. They keyed it up as something that's going to come back, and it never does. The fact that she's Palpatine, I audibly groaned so loud in the movie theater
and
when
Chewbacca
she said,
got Han Solo. Chewbacca got Han Solo's bat.
Stupid. Why? Why is that important? Why does he care? What would have been a better gift? Give him the Millennium Falcon. Make him the captain.
He didn't want to be the captain.
Yes, he does.
He wants to go back to his grandpa.
He paid his life debt. He doesn't have a life debt anymore.
Well, he wants to go back to Lumpy, dude.
I'm just saying. Nothing about this movie holds up. Nothing.
All right, moving on. Well, we can do a whole episode about this later.
Can I ask one? I will ask you not to exposit for the sake of Carrie.
Sure.
Just a question. Do you feel like this movie was attempting to undo The Last Jedi?
Not undo, but
I don't think so.
I think they were trying to please the fans that were upset with Last Jedi.
Okay.
And there's so many call-out moments. They're like, oh, you remember that shit in Last Jedi? We fixed it. Like when she throws a lightsaber and Luke Skywalker's Force Ghost, who can all of a sudden grab things, apparently, grabs it and says, that's not how you treat a lightsaber. He didn't act like that in the first movie or the last movie. Where's that coming from?
It comes from his own character development through the course of The Last Jedi.
He's dead. Why the fuck does he care?
Why did Obi-Wan show up to tell Luke to go train with Yoda? Why does he care?
Because
he's
he was dead. At that moment, he was the last hope.
And Rey is the last hope here. I don't see
Not
why your
really.
Complaint holds up.
It doesn't work.
It's
your complaint
hope.
Doesn't hold up.
The new hope.
No. It's terrible. It's a terrible movie.
No right. Star Wars movie is a good movie. Your complaint doesn't hold up.
Empire Strikes Back's great. A New Hope's great for the most part. Return of the Jedi has some... never Return of the Jedi. Yeah, Return of the Jedi has some problems here and there, but for the most
but
part,
they,
it's pretty
they
good.
Brought Wicked back.
For
and
a
Wicked,
shot.
And Wicked had a kid.
A shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That was And it was Warwick Davis.
It was. And the kid was his actual kid.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, which is pretty great.
Problem solved. Best movie ever.
This is the biggest disappointment of the year for me.
Right.
I wanted it to
I know
be,
it is.
I wanted it to be so good.
Here's my thing.
And it wasn't
I went
good.
And watched the movie for what it was.
How many times have you seen
because
it?
Because everyone, to me, everyone that is like railing against this movie, they're mad because they didn't make the movie that they wanted them to make.
That's not
you
the
included.
Point. That's not the point. It's not a comprehensive movie.
I agree. It is not perfect. Are there problems
it's
with it?
It's beyond not
fuck
perfect.
Yeah, there's problems with it. It's the movie they made. It's the movie they made. It's the story they told. Did I enjoy it? Did I have fun watching it? Yes.
So
cool.
I saw it in theaters. I was like, oh man, I was filled with excitement after the movie. And I was like, now why did they do that? And I kept asking myself over and over, and the more I thought about the movie, the more
you could
progressively
do that
I hated
with,
this movie.
You could do that with the entirety of Star Wars, though.
Like what?
You could do that with, like, this one's a cheap shot, but why was Jar Jar Binks there? Well, because he needed to be the one.
Merchandising.
Okay, well, then why were the Ewoks there?
Merchandising.
Why were the AC-STs there? Merchandising.
I don't pretend the Rogue One exists.
AT-STs have been around since Empire Strikes Back.
I thought AT-STs were the one with the yellow hatch.
AT-STs are the two-legged walkers. Oh, okay. They've been around since Empire Strikes Back.
Chicken walkers. Yeah.
But, like, the whole series, like, so what? Like, there aren't other options for doing literally anything that they wanted.
It's just the
story that they told.
But they didn't do anything new. They didn't progress the story. They went for the easiest pinnacle of story choices. And it wasn't interesting. It was some, like, flash and flare here and there, but that was about it. It was too... The fact that she was a Palpatine was the most dumbest choice.
Be careful if you're epileptic.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of lightning flashes.
Yeah, if you go to the planet Testicle, apparently you'll see lightning everywhere.
What was the easiest...
Okay. This leads into your argument of me writing a better movie. But this is the movie that they said, like, that Rian Johnson teed up for Last Jedi. He teed up the fact that you don't have to be Skywalker blood or Palpatine blood or royalty.
I agree with you on this
that
point.
That whole crutch is so important for this third movie or the final movie. And the fact that they sew that in, and it really undercuts everything. And they try to redeem Kylo Ren, but they force it and they rush it.
I agree with that, too.
I don't know about that.
I agree with both of those points.
But there's other Force-sensitive people in this movie.
Yes, there is.
I would rather have them
But why wasn't that brought up more?
I would rather...
It's in the comic book series, in the book.
I would have preferred they stayed with Rey as nobody.
Me too.
I would have preferred that.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. It's terrible.
She wanted to buy the world's best grandpa mug.
And then, like, Palpatine didn't die in Return of the Jedi, so Vader's sacrifice was for nothing.
Well, this is probably could be a clone, because he does have clone technology. Because
why does he look all busted up and frail and on a Assassin's Creed crane?
Clone technology is not great. Apparently.
I didn't say it was great,
because apparently they had a bunch of Snokes too, and they all looked like shit.
Yeah.
that was a terrible explanation too. And there were so many like. Don't forget about it. We're moving on. Next MacGuffin. Go get the thing to get the thing. They got jetpacks. Who has jetpacks? Everyone. Chewie's dead? No, he's not. I mean, it's just terrible.
You cried when you thought Chewie was dead.
I was shocked. I thought, oh, shit, this movie's ballsy as shit. I was really excited at that moment. I was like, what the fuck? This is the most shocking moment ever. He doesn't even get a nice send-off. He just gets a off-camera explosion.
Like, apparently, Nyum.
Who?
Nyum apparently is killed off in this movie.
I don't know who that is.
At what point?
During the fight over Exegol.
Who's Nyum?
The guy with the flaps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He died?
Apparently. There's an article about that today.
Was he on an X-Wing or something?
Yeah, he was piloting X-Wing.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Anyway.
Now, there were other things that didn't make sense, like... Why are we targeting the ground-based navigation tower?
Because we needed to give people something to do.
Right. No, like, that's dumb. That whole plot line is dumb.
Yes.
Okay,
what's up
fine.
With all these ships?
So what? Like,
I thought, okay, the Palpatine storyline's dumb. Like,
he was building an army.
For what?
I will continue to grant you that the Palpatine storyline is dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the movie they made, and I watched it, and I enjoyed what...
I'm not saying what you enjoyed is wrong. Anyone can enjoy what they want, but my personal feelings on it that I hate.
But
what if I enjoyed it?
But it's a bad movie.
This movie's making
like
it really
Star
hard.
Wars does.
Star Wars, as of late, it's making really hard to be a Star Wars fan. That's all I'm going to leave it as. Nah, even Mandalorian's still kind of a letdown, so...
You think so?
Half of the series is okay. Two or three episodes were great. Makes me feel like they should have just made a movie.
I'm glad it's a show.
I am glad, too.
Is this going to lead into our next thing?
No, because I've still got a couple movies.
Oh, you're not done.
I'm not done.
We got off on Star Wars for a minute.
I had to complain about I haven't had anyone to complain about it to for like however long it's been.
Are you good now? Is that your system?
No. I'll probably
He's got more. About, I can feel it.
Yeah. I know. It's the Force. You can feel the Force.
There's just so many moments.
Don't give in to those feelings. It leads to the dark side.
Like the end too, like they had a perfect moment to show all the Jedi, and do they do it? Nope.
Yeah, I agree. They should have showed them. Not
they should have took the Avatar route, the last Airbender, not the Shyamalan version, the cartoon version where he's trying. You've never seen the show?
No.
Fuck. Never mind. You've never seen the show either.
Nope. I've seen all like an
episode.
So
it's the exact same setup where good's versus evil, good's about to lose. And he's disconnected from the powers to be, whatever, that helps him have the wizard powers. And he's asking for all of them to be there, and they all like put a hand on his shoulder and says, "We're right here with you." And he stands up, and you see the fuck all of them. And it's great. And it's awesome. And I wish we would have gotten that in this movie. Why not show us, if this is supposed to be the conclusions of conclusions, why not show us the decades that we've had? 40 years. Of movies and shows and books and comics.
You think it's over? It's not over.
No, but Kathleen Kennedy doesn't know what she's doing. She needs to be fired or quit.
All right, moving on. My next movie on my list you might not agree with.
What's that?
Is The Irishman.
I haven't finished it yet.
I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie.
I watched an hour of it.
There's things wrong with it, blah, blah, blah. Some of the de-aging technology is a little wonky. I really enjoyed it. I watched it all in one night.
Wow.
I remember getting up to go to
all
the bathroom.
4 hours of it?
It was like 3-something.
Is it really 3-plus hours long?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, I've been watching this movie for a really fucking long time. I still got 2.5 hours long left. I'm like, holy crap. But, yeah, I love Scorsese, and I love all the everybody that he's working with in this movie. De Niro was great. Pacino was great. Pesci played a different kind of a bad guy, of a different kind of like good fella, if you want to say that.
Sure.
But I really liked it. I don't know if it would work in the theaters. It would have been a little bit too long.
No, they
but
would have totally lost money in the theaters if this came out.
I'm glad they went the route they went.
I don't know how far I'm into it. I'm at the point where he meets Al Pacino. Who's he playing? Not Al Capone.
God, now I'm drawing a blank.
Whatever Al Pacino character is playing, that's the part I'm at in the movie, and I started to fall asleep.
I could see
Hoffa?
That. Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy
yeah,
Hoffa.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's called. I'm at that part where he's on the phone. And like, this is Jimmy Hoffa.
Is that what he sounded like?
It sounds just like that.
Yeah, that's a great Pacino.
Thanks.
And number two for me, if I would put numbers to it, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we discussed that, and then Avengers Endgame.
Where's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood fall for you in Tarantino rankings?
In Tarantino rankings, probably number 5. Yeah, maybe 4 or 5.
How many movies have you made? 8? 9?
9.
Is this his 9th film?
I think so.
I would have to go through in my head. I don't know. Anyway, that's high up there. That's not high up there for me.
My number one. What's your number one?
My number one, well, it depends on the day you catch me on. It's probably going to be either Inglourious Basterds or Hateful Eight.
Really?
Yeah. Probably Inglourious Basterds if I had to choose.
That's my number two. Number one is always Pulp Fiction.
See, yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, Pulp Fiction, but I don't know if it's pure nostalgia that rides it to number one, or is the fact that it's really good.
Yes.
Both. I actually was thinking about this on the drive over, since we're talking about Pulp Fiction. Did the term "get medieval on your ass" originate in Pulp Fiction?
I think
probably.
So.
Okay.
It came out when I was in middle school.
Yeah, it was 90s.
And I probably said that all the time.
Because that was like a thing that people said for a while, was I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
It was either that or Stone Cold Steve Austin made it popular from wrestling in the 90s.
Mm.
One or the other. Or maybe one influenced the other.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I don't know why I was thinking about that on the drive over.
I got medieval on Star Wars' ass, that's for sure.
You did.
Fucking Star Wars.
You want to talk about our favorite TV shows?
Yeah, let's do
it. Actually, I have one more honorable mention that I didn't mention for movies. Is Yesterday.
You know, I watched that recently.
Seemed like an interesting idea. I heard it didn't deliver really well.
I thought it's a great love story of a movie. I like the concept more than I actually like the movie.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and it's just...
It seemed like a fun concept.
They just never went far enough with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's my biggest problem. But it was fun. It was, like, enjoyable. I wasn't mad that I rented it.
Yeah.
It was on $2.99 on Amazon Prime, half off, whatever.
Let's go into the TV shows.
TV show time.
TV show, streaming, whatever platform you're watching this shit on.
Sure.
Now, I don't watch a lot of TV to begin with, and usually when I do, I'm watching like older shit, and it's often stuff I put on while I'm doing chores or something else. There's very few things that I actually sit and watch.
Yeah.
So my list is short.
It's okay.
I have five things on my list, and one of them's kind of a cheat because it's not current. It's not new. Okay. But it was new to me in 2019.
I thought I was going
to
have a hard time finding 10 things that I
got more than
new, 10 new things that I enjoyed. But most of the stuff I picked was mostly new, with the exception of three things.
All right. Let's hear Dave's first.
So my cheat one is Supernatural. I started watching Supernatural in 2019.
From the beginning?
From the beginning.
Nice. In 2019. So where are you at now?
I am in season 8 right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's rough. I'm having a rough time.
You only got 10 more seasons to go, right?
I've got 7 more seasons to go.
Wasn't season 5 the perfect ending?
Which one was?
It's the one where Dean goes to hell. Where he sacrifices, not Dean.
That wasn't, no.
The other one.
Sam.
When
Sam goes into the gate. Yeah. He goes into the box with Lucifer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the perfect ending, right?
Yeah, they've been struggling since that point.
Most definitely. Well, because the creator of the show left to go do other things. Eric Kirky? Kirpike?
He's still credited on every episode.
Yeah, he's credited as a
producer
but he wasn't no longer a writer on the show past that moment.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the writing's been kind of rough.
And also, I think 7 through 8 was during the writer's strike.
Okay, there's a lot of bad shit in 7 and 8.
There's a lot of bad stuff.
I'm like, oh my, the whole Leviathan storyline is, oh god, it's rough.
It's really bad.
And my wife has watched up until the last season. She hasn't watched last season. She's waiting to watch it until I catch up with her. And so I have been going, this gets better again, right? And she's like, yeah, it gets better.
I dropped out like somewhere in the 9th season, I think. Or 9th. I can't remember what season I dropped out in.
She warned me it was going to get rough and that it gets better after that point.
I quit. I can't remember when I quit.
There's still some good...
I think I quit when I found out who God was. And I was like, okay, that was a on-the-nose answer and... Not Alanis Morissette.
But I've really enjoyed watching the series.
It's
despite
fun.
These last couple of seasons have been rough. There's a lot of really great character stuff in the show. This is a very character-driven
show. Sam and Dean
show.
Are just fabulous together.
Dean is one of the best TV characters I've ever seen written.
Most definitely.
He has... And Jensen Ackles, I was surprised, can act.
Most definitely. He can.
Holy shit, like there are moments, especially in some of the earlier seasons of the show, not so much where I am now, but in some of the earlier seasons of the show, he pulls off some performances that are just moving.
Yeah, he really carries that, like, I'm angry at the world or angry at everybody, but I'm still happy.
Well, and because of that, a lot of his performances are very subtle.
Yeah.
There's very subtle things in his performances that are like, I'm feeling feelings
because
Dean had a look.
Sam, I can take her to leave.
Sam's a little stiff.
Yeah,
he does a good job, but
he's still left out.
Did you never seen the show?
I watched the first episode
of season 1.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Don't you
keep
must
going.
You must go further
at least to season 5.
Yeah.
When I get time.
Season 1's like Monsters of the Week, but like toward the end of season 1, it becomes very mythological. Like they keep tapping on the mythos of the show.
Okay.
And that's when it really gets really interesting.
Yeah. I felt like where I am, I'd say that was going to be spoilery, but the last really interesting thing that they did to me was with Bobby.
Mm. Yeah.
That was the last.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, you don't have to worry about it. So
I figured.
Yeah.
I have figured that out. Where I am now, though, Garth is fucking awesome. I love Garth.
It has Wayne in it.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on.
What is that guy's name? The actor who plays Garth. He's always awkward, skinny, weird guy in everything. Yeah.
Dana Carvey? No, he was in the New Guy movie.
Yeah, that kid.
Road Trip. He was a
DJ Qualls?
I'm terrible. He has a kind of a linky nose. Hair does this.
Really lanky, tall, skinny, goofy.
I think he was also in Dodgeball.
No, that was somebody else.
That wasn't him?
No, that was somebody else.
But I know
I've never seen him on the show. I'm just guessing. So, is that dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
DJ Qualls.
He's great.
Yeah, he's always
show.
Good. He's a good actor.
I have not watched a whole lot of stuff that he's been in. And so, the last episode I saw with him, I was like, all right, hey, good for you. Good performance, you know?
Yeah.
It was one where he tells Dean off about Bobby.
Sure.
And yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. Good character. And the show is very character driven.
Yes.
The characters are really good in the show.
Yeah, once you get... they grab you onto those characters. You really, it's hard to not enjoy the show.
There's a lot of bad in this. There's a lot of bad in this show. Even from the good seasons, there's a lot of bad. A lot of their bit characters are awful. The some of the actresses they get are abysmally bad.
Character of the week.
But the characters that you stick with are really good and drive the show. Anyway, that's enough about that. Again, watch very little TV. This one, number four, is very recent. I just started watching His Dark Materials.
Haven't started that yet.
I am on the third episode.
I am not much farther than that. I'm on maybe four or five.
Yeah.
I'm
around there somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a big fan of the chick. Like, I think she's not that good of an actress. She was great in Logan.
Is that the little girl?
Yeah, it's the X-23 girl.
Oh, really?
She was good in that, but she's not so great in this.
Hmm.
And I don't know what it is. It's her delivery and some of the lines that she uses. Like, I want to feel like that's the only take they have of her saying that line.
She's okay, but everyone else around her is
Everyone's
doing a really
great.
Good job.
Yeah, everyone around her is too good, I guess.
I need to start watching this.
It's a good show. The show does no favors. If you've never read the book, like, the show does no favors of cluing you into the world. You just kind of have to guess.
There's a lot. Yes, there's a lot. Because I have a copy of the first book, but I haven't read it. I watched the terrible movie that came out like 10 years ago.
I vaguely remember.
And I don't remember anything from it. I remember.
I just know Daniel Craig's in it.
Well, I forgot that Daniel Craig was in it. I remembered that Sam What's-His-Name shows up. And that's all I remember from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So watching the show... They don't tell you what's going on. And so there is a lot of, what the fuck is this guy? Who are they?
And what does this mean?
What does this mean? And,
yeah.
But it's fun. That's kind of the fun of it. I think that's what I'm enjoying about it a lot right now is the figuring out who everyone is and what everything means and how all this stuff works together. And what's his name? He's one of the... the gypsy
Redbeard guy?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's been in
Cosmo.
Others. He was
something
in,
Cosmo. He's
he
great.
Was in, wasn't he in Game of Thrones?
Yes. He was one of the
Wild people.
No, he was one of the
Oh no, he
the
was the
Watchmen.
The watch and, guys.
Yeah,
Night
he was
Watch
one of them.
Guys.
But yeah, he was in like Braveheart and like all
he's
that shit.
A character actor.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
I really like
his one scene there's a one scene where he professes his love to somebody in there, and I thought that was a very emotional scene.
But yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying it so far. I don't know what the hell's happening yet, but I'm enjoying the ride.
Okay.
You with me on that?
Yeah, so far. I think it's an interesting world enough to keep watching.
Yeah, agreed.
It's on HBO.
Number three, Stranger Things 3. We marathoned it when it came out. We did the whole thing in a day.
That's actually on my list.
I liked
enjoyed
it a lot.
So we are including like shows with multiple seasons?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, a new season came out this year, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean...
Why not?
I was trying to do mostly shows that just came out this year, but...
We're playing it loose. And
I'd have nothing to go with. I will. My list would be so short.
We're going by Star Wars standards, okay?
Oh.
Which
is poor ones.
Number two, What We Do in the Shadows. I really enjoyed the TV series.
I've yet to finish that
series.
That
is on my list.
I want to finish it.
I feel like it ends in a place that's like, okay, this is interesting. I'm curious to see.
They announced season two starts in April.
Okay.
I'm excited for that.
I think I only watched up to episode three, and then other shows and movies came out. And I was like,
you need to finish it.
It's taking my attention.
And then number one for me was The Mandalorian. I've had the best time watching The Mandalorian.
Me too.
I like it a lot.
I liked episodes 1, 2, 3.
And eight.
And nine. I think those are the most important.
Did you like episode 12?
They didn't make those.
Oh.
Taika Waititi directed the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really wish, I don't know, it's just so much bad filler in that show. But I really enjoy it. Like, I like the world that we're in.
It's a beautiful show. It's well directed, well shot.
At times, everything. It's well directed.
All right. I'm going to go next in.
Okay.
How about that?
Sure.
How about them apples?
Do that.
I'm going to go. I do have some comedy ones on mine.
Nice.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nope.
Love. What do you mean, nope?
Not for me.
All right, well.
I love Terry Crews, but I hate Andy Samberg.
Actually, I love Andy Samberg. We just watched, what was that movie where he was, like, trying to be Evel Knievel?
Pop Star? Oh, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. We watched that for the first time a few weeks ago.
It's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, that's where we watched it. I'm going to say one of my new favorite shows is a show called The Unicorn.
Oh, the NBC or CBS show? The guy from...
NBC, yeah.
The guy from The Hateful Eight.
That's correct.
I forget his name all the time.
Walton Goggins.
There you go. Thank you.
Comicpalooza alum. He was.
He's an awesome actor. I like
him. It's a great show. It's him and Rob Corddry. So it's two of the guys that were actually on. How was the name of that show with The Rock? Ballers.
Okay.
So it's
Walter is in that show.
No, not Walton Goggins, but the Rob Corddry was on that, and then the other friend that was like
the black guy.
Yeah, I can't think of his name now.
The teddy bear looking guy.
Yeah, the big dude.
Yeah, he looks like a teddy bear. Like yeah, they're a big walking teddy bear.
They're his best friends on the show, and it's about him basically a year after his wife died, trying to.
Why is it called The Unicorn?
Because he's trying to date again, and the hardest thing for females to find is a nice guy. So he's a unicorn. He's a hard guy to find.
All right.
It's a funny show.
This is a term that's in the pop culture right now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure
you're
out.
You're out of touch.
I guess.
Apparently so.
All right. Come on, fam.
Word.
it's a really well done show. There's a lot of funny stuff to it, but it's not a straight up comedy. It's one of my favorite new shows of the season. Cool. I really like Stumptown. I need to catch up on that.
I was gonna watch it.
It's
the trailer looked somewhat okay, but I heard nothing but good things about it.
I'm not caught up on it. I actually watched part of an episode last night.
I feel like it's gonna be like one of those other shows, like Blacklist. That's just kind of like, it is what it is. Something to watch on. The
it's
background.
Based off a Greg Rucka graphic novel.
Yeah, it's on a comic book. Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Living with Yourself, the Paul Rudd show on Netflix. I'm only halfway through, so maybe episode 4.
I watched the first episode.
I like it.
And, I mean, the only reason...
It's like... What was the name of that Michael Keaton movie?
Multiplicity. Yeah.
It's like that, but...
Evil.
Evil and more depressing.
Sure. Yeah, the only reason why I stopped watching it, because it reminds me too much of a feature that I have written, so I don't want it to sully my script.
Oh, I thought your real feature...
Yeah, I've written a feature with the exact same premise.
No, I thought future, not feature.
Not future.
I was like, if your future is going to be that bad.
Feature.
New comedy that I really liked this year, The Righteous Gemstones.
I've only watched the pilot.
I've wanted to watch that. That seems like exactly the kind of thing that might appeal to me. So.
It's great.
Does it get better than the pilot?
Yes.
I was kind of like meh on the pilot.
Why?
Because
I don't want. Well, actually, I don't want to know why.
Vice Principals a lot more. I thought Vice Principals was funnier and better.
It gets funnier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't feeling the characters in the first episode. I guess.
I'm gonna go with Barry.
Barry season 2 is great.
Barry is one of my favorite shows. It's so great. We mentioned Stranger Things season 3. I actually enjoyed it. I liked it better than 2 a little bit.
I thought it was way better than 2.
I'm going to go with Glow.
Yeah, I think it was better than 2.
Which season of Glow?
The one that came out this year is 3.
Oh, I stopped after 2.
Yeah. This last season was a lot more character-driven, a lot more in-depth in the characters. It's really good.
I lost interest toward the end of season 2. That's why
I'm going to go into... Next one is going to be The Boys.
It's great. It's on my list, too.
Yeah.
Is this the like, anti-superhero...
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime. I need to watch this one.
Dude, it's so good.
Carl Urban is great.
Yeah, everybody
he seems
great.
All the like promo
everybody's
material.
Great. You're absolutely right.
Meg Ryan's kid, whatever his name is.
Which one's Meg Ryan's
the
kid?
The main kid. Yeah, Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's kid is like the main.
The main the kid with the curly hair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that was their kid.
We mentioned What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was going to live up to the movie. It's almost as good as the movie. As good.
Yeah. In its own way.
Yes.
It's not a rehash of the movie.
Right.
The
Vampire Council, I think, is one of the best things
that was a great
happened
episode.
On TV this past year.
It was. Yeah. That was a
it
good
was amazing.
Episode.
Before that, next is Get Shorty.
I haven't watched that yet.
Season 3 came out. I cannot recommend this show enough. It's one of those shows you start watching and you just
Ray Romano.
Super addicted to it. Yeah. Ray Romano. Rare. He's good in The Irishman,
up,
too. He's good in the show.
He was good in that movie with, from last year, The Big Sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He played the dad in that show. Yeah,
he was pretty good in that.
He has some other, acting chops that,
Sure, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you get typecast in the one type of character,
Ray Romano.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like Tim Allen, he gets typecast as that
sure.
same character. Yeah.
You make Wild Hogs over and over again.
And you play... I forgot about that movie. Fuck. Before this, one of my favorite comedies in the past... One of my favorite shows in the past 10 years, The Good Place.
It is
I
great.
Just started
the,
watching The Good Place
the
last
season,
night.
Yeah.
I just started...
So,
last night? I just started
so you're on
watching
season one?
It. Yeah, the whole show I just started last night.
It's so good.
It's like it's a gut punch of a show because I thought it was going to be kind of silly and just dumb, just kind of something to throw on in the background. What? But it's magnificent.
I listened. They're the Good Place to podcast. I listened to that after I watched the episodes, and it's actually hosted by Mark Evan Jackson, who plays Sean,
oh, cool.
the devil. Such a good show.
I haven't gotten to the devil yet.
You will.
I mean, I think he's in the. First season?
Maybe. Yeah.
So where I am,
no spoilers.
Eleanor just openly revealed that she's the mistake. That's where where I am right now.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
The twists in the show and the reveals in the show, just when you think they can't pull the rug any further.
Yes.
It keeps pulling.
And it's such a well-written, well-done show.
And it's in its final season this year.
It is.
Year.
There's 4 episodes left, and a new episode actually premiered tonight as we're recording.
I haven't seen any of the new season, so I'm going to wait till it lands on Netflix.
Gotcha. Before that is, my next one is The Imagineering Story.
Disney
Plus.
How many episodes?
I haven't watched it yet.
There was 6 episodes. Six
I've seen,
or 7.
I've seen the first 2.
Yeah.
And if I had had that in mind, I probably would have put it on my list because this is a show that was written for me to watch.
It was written for me. And they're like, hey, Carrie.
Let's just be honest.
To be fair, when they first announced it, I was like, oh, they're going to love this show.
So when they basically, yeah, you're right. They said, hey, Carrie, what kind of show do you want on Disney Plus? I want a documentary, a full-length documentary series about Imagineering and everything that it entails.
Yep. So do you feel like... Do you feel like they've gone deep enough in the information for you to thoroughly enjoy
there's, it? There's a lot of stuff I did know. There's a lot of stuff I did not know.
Oh, okay, cool. I haven't seen it yet.
I would like them to go further. I would like to do in-depth episodes about just one park or one attraction.
This is the same director who made the Pixar story.
Yes, Leslie Iwerks.
Iwerks' granddaughter.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. If you have Disney Plus, please watch it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch it, but I'm kind of going. I've been in on the kick on watching like the oldest of oldest shit I could find on Disney Plus. So right now I'm watching Wonderful World of Color.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the opening of It's a Small World, after all.
Yes.
It's, It's a terrible ride. I'm glad I've never ridden that ride, but it's very interesting.
I actually love that ride.
I only love the ride because,
not in an ironic way,
because of the history.
Yes.
I think that's why I enjoy it.
And I've been on it so much since I was a kid.
Because of the significance of the ride to the history of the company and the work that went into it, the design.
I'm going to have to watch that episode. So I need to get that link.
If you just type in Disney World or Disneyland, that pops up.
Okay.
But that's why, if it was the ride by itself, I wouldn't care. But it's because of the ride's position in the history.
Sure.
That's why I like it.
And they also
it.
Talk about the episode of Wonderful World of Color that they have on there. It's the 10-year anniversary of Disneyland.
Yeah.
And it's the first time they're doing the holiday parade, and they're unveiling It's a Small World.
Okay. Which was originally from the World's Fair.
Sure.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about that.
They just moved it over. All right.
They didn't talk about that?
Mm-mm.
Which is that's weird.
That's odd. Yeah, because A Small World was designed for the 1964 World's
Fair. What they really
World's
talked
Fair.
About was the making of stuff and why they were making stuff and the significance of the stuff.
Well, that's
yeah,
about
but
it. That's the significance of it.
That
it
is the significance of it, because Small World was made for the World's Fair
the
in
only 1964. Thing they talked about, it's
and they just moved it to Disney
yeah.
land.
They didn't mention anything about that.
Wow. That's surprising.
They talked about the giant clock that they made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they talked about
all designed by Roller
They got Camp. Kids to
no,
get.
It wasn't.
Or Go Mary back. Blair.
They yeah. got kids to. Supposedly, they got kids from everywhere that's ethnic wise or from around the world.
Yeah.
And they supposedly got water from all around the world.
I've heard that,
but
too.
When I researched it a little bit, apparently that was all bullshit. It was just a marketing ploy. But anyway, it's very point. Interesting to kind of make people believe that. There's a guy in a jetpack who launches himself in the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Before Stormtroopers are doing it and Mandalorians.
It's true.
That's on the Wonderful World of Color?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We need to watch
because
that
then they use that in the movie Tomorrowland.
I was hoping they would put
the kid has a jetpack at the 1964 World's Fair.
That's true.
At small. Okay.
So this is at Disneyland. They're,
you're right.
They don't
yeah,
mention
I get you.
Anything.
No,
about
I get
the World's
you.
Fair
I got you.
I hope they release more of these old episodes of Wonderful World of Color because
I think
I remember watching some of it on VHS as a kid. And I
had
remember liking it.
Those DVDs I was showing you earlier, the Walt Disney Treasures DVDs.
Yeah.
I have two volumes of Disneyland ones, and that's on there. That
cool.
episode is on there.
So the one I'm watching now, since I was finished with that one, the one I'm watching now is their. There is the one where Donald Duck and Walt Disney are talking with each other about the world of animation and how they do
mm-hmm.
their animation in
that.
Walt Disney World or Disneyland.
All right, so moving on, my number two is The Mandalorian.
Crickets. Look, it's great. I think technically, do you know how they made the show?
Yeah.
Did you know, none of that is, actual set? Or it's not, a background or a location? They never go on location ever. The whole show is filmed on a soundstage.
But it's really well done.
It blows my mind that none of it's on an actual
it's an
location.
Amazing, it's an amazing show.
It's well made.
All right. My number one is Watchmen.
Mine too.
Yeah. Who watches The Watchmen?
We do.
It's a phenomenal show. I didn't know how. I love the series. I like the movie. The movie took a little bit of liberty.
Pretend the movie
of course.
Doesn't exist.
No, it's not true. But this show is phenomenal. And it's just,
this
it's
show
just
pokes
grip,
fun at the movie.
It's
which
gripping.
I think is great.
They do. It's gripping. Everybody in it is really really good. There's a lot of blue dick in it. More than you want to see, but
no more than what's in the
comic. You
don't
know how much blue dick I want to see.
All right, watch Avatar again.
I've never seen it once.
You haven't seen Avatar?
I've never seen Avatar. I'm going to put it on my list of James Cameron movies that I'm never going to fucking see.
Even his five sequels that are coming out.
I'm never going to see
You've
a goddamn
the ride,
one of them.
Though.
No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought you had.
I walked through the land, but I didn't ride anything. I've also never seen Titanic, and at this point, I'm
Titanic's great.
At this point, I'm like, fuck it, I'm never going to.
Spoiler, the ship sinks at the end.
Damn.
Sorry.
I'm not going to lie, Titanic's one of my favorite movies. I think it's legit good.
It's on my list of
I'm never
James
going
Cameron
on a cruise
movies.
With
I'll
you
never
then, because we're not
it's
recreating,
a point of pride
we're not recreating
at this point.
Any scenes
it's
from
a,
that movie.
It's on principle now. I don't even care. I would watch the movie, whatever, but at this point, it's I've gone this long, I've never seen Titanic, fuck it, I'm going to ride this thing out. So that's That's how
that's
I feel.
A terrible
that's
excuse.
How I feel about Avatar as well. I feel about Avatar the exact same way. It's like, you know what? I probably would watch it, but why would I at this point?
So much stuff to laugh at in Avatar, though, like Unobtainium and shit.
Oh God, I hate Unobtainium. There's a metal that we need, and we need a name for this metal. It's really hard to get.
Unobtainium.
Oh, come on.
I mean, the first time he passes over when you watch it, I didn't catch it the first time. But the second time I watched it, I was like, did they just say unobtainium?
And then Gina Bonnie Ribisi trying to like say it with a straight face. He's like, yeah, we need unobtainium. You're like, fuck.
And then Sam Worthington is not the greatest actor, but when he's in the CGI blue monkey suit, you can't tell. So,
right. All right, moving on. What are your...
Oh, right, so you hit your top one.
I didn't get my...
Honorable mentions?
I forgot Doom Patrol.
I haven't seen that. I don't have a DC Access thing, so...
Doom Patrol is phenomenal.
It looked good.
Really good. I don't know if it came out this year. Didn't come out. Started in 2018, I think.
I thought it came out in 2019. Maybe. With the app, right? The app came out in 2019.
Maybe.
I don't know. I would assume you're right.
The one show me and my wife started watching recently, we're on season two now, is Schitt's Creek.
The sitcom? The Lifetime show?
No.
It's a sitcom, right?
Sort of, yeah.
The guy from the dad from American Pie.
Yeah, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, and his son is in the show. It's really funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. What's
it
about?
It's about a family that are super fucking rich and obnoxious, and they lose all their money. But he has this one asset, which is this really crappy little town, and they have to move there and live in a motel.
Is the name of the town Schitt's Creek? Yes.
It actually is.
Nice.
And Chris Elliott is the mayor.
I don't know who Chris Elliott is.
Yes.
You do. You know who Chris Elliott is.
Okay.
And you said, oh shit, like that? Exactly right. It's a funny show. Everybody is in top form.
I don't even know what network to watch it on. It's on Netflix.
No, was it originally on Pop or something
Chris
like that?
Chris Elliott, you know who he is.
Oh, yeah. He looks really rapey.
Yeah.
If I ever had to describe him, rapey is the word I'd use.
His daughter was on SNL for a while, I think.
Is she rapey too?
I don't know. She never offered.
I don't watch SNL, so I couldn't tell you. With the exception when Eddie Murphy's on.
All right. That's my list.
Right on. Cool. Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
That's funny.
It is funny.
I've heard it's funny.
Yeah.
And did a new season just come out or something? Or
I think
it's being promoted heavily right now.
I think season 5 is maybe gonna start soon. We're still on season 2, so but it's just like it's one of those things you watch it on Netflix. We just sit there and after a while Netflix is like, are you still watching? Yeah, we're still watching, dude. Because they're only like 22-minute episodes and they're just fun and easy to get.
Because it's made for TV, right? For half hour TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Very cool.
What's your list?
Starting from number 10 for TV. I can't believe none of y'all mentioned this, and I'm surprised you haven't seen this yet. It's called Mindhunter.
I've been wanting to watch this show.
So you haven't seen it at all?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
I know it has one of the girls from Fringe, right?
Yeah.
Anna Torv.
Olivia something, or yeah, Anna something like that.
And it has the dude that's in Frozen. That's all I know about it.
The animated movie?
Yeah, like the guy who plays like Kristoff.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's all I know about it.
I just know it's about serial killers, and my God, is it good. It's literally
That.
It's a show about people talking. It's the whole show. Just people sit around and talk to each other, but it is
Mindhunter?
Mindhunter, seasons 1 and 2. Season 2 is better than season 1.
It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's a Netflix original. Yeah. David Fincher produced and directed a lot of the shows. I think he's a writer on a couple of the episodes. He directed... In season 1, he directed the first and final episode, and in season 2, he directs the first 2 episodes.
Cool.
It's really good. If you haven't seen it, it's about the FBI creating, for the
task
first,
force,
creating
right?
a task force that no one's ever done before to find out the psyche of these murders and like why they repeat offenders. And it's so good.
It's 8.6 on IMDb, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I hear it's great. So
I'm just surprised it's not higher on my list. Like after going through my list, I'm surprised it's not higher. That just goes to show you my list is bad shit.
Yeah.
So number 9, this is a show that I watched recently, and I didn't think I was going to like it, because season one was like, it's trash TV, but it's like really entertaining and fun trash TV.
Okay.
It's a show called You. Like, Y-O-U, You.
Never heard of it.
So it's about a guy who...
What did this play on?
It's on Netflix, both seasons. It started on Lifetime, and then Netflix bought the rights when Lifetime canceled it. And then they renewed it for a season two. Season two is miles better than season one. You is about a guy who's a stalker, possibly a serial killer. You don't really know until you start watching the show. And it's just interesting. It has that level of Dexter, but like Dexter Light. And it's really interesting and fun.
Never even heard it. The Mindhunter one, I can recognize, like, I've seen ads for it on Netflix.
Sure.
I don't even heard of this one.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I didn't think I was going to like it, but after Catherine and I decided to take a shot at it, we, like, burned through season one and two, like, immediately. Number eight. This was a Hulu original. It's called The Act. Have y'all heard of that show?
No.
It is about this mom who basically tries to convince her daughter that she's like a cancer patient. And it's about that dynamic. Has, what's her face? God damn it. She's a famous actress and I can't think of her name right now.
What's the name of the show again?
The Act.
The Act.
And it's on Hulu. I can't remember any of the actresses' names right now. It's Patricia Arquette. Yes, thank you. I knew it was someone famous.
Did she just win maybe a... She won a Golden Globe for this.
Oh, did she really? Good for her. She really deserves it, because my God, the acting in the show is fantastic. Yeah. It's a drama, like, through and through. There's no way around it. I don't want to tell you the story, like, the full story, because it kind of, like, pulls the carpet under the rug a little bit, and you kind of lose interest, maybe, or you could lose interest. I already knew what the story was about before watching it, because I knew about the true story. But it's very fascinating, very well acted, very well made.
Were her boobs hanging out in this too?
No.
If you look at the picture of her, the Golden Globes, her Golden Globes are out the whole time. Yeah, wow. Big time.
If you got it, flaunt it.
Apparently.
I guess. I don't know what to tell you. There's a lot of Netflix on here. I'm surprised how much Netflix is on my list. Number seven, Russian Doll.
I have not seen that yet.
My goodness, was this show funny and interesting?
Funny, really?
Yeah. So if you think...
I was intrigued by the trailer for this, but
if you kind of liked Groundhog Day, you'll love this show.
I've literally never watched Groundhog Day.
Literally?
Literally.
Literally.
You should watch it every day.
You should. So I'm aware of what the premise is.
I played the VR sequel
to it.
Yeah, so Russian Doll is about a chick. It's about on her birthday, and she keeps dying on her birthday.
Like Happy Death Day?
I guess. Kind of like that, but way better and funnier.
Okay.
Yeah, like that whole Happy Death Day thing seemed like an interesting premise. I never watched either one of them.
I watched both of them this year, actually.
They looked terrible.
The second one was not good.
All right. There's moments in the first one I was like, oh, that was an interesting death scene, and that was about it.
The second one was not good.
But I saw the trailer for the Russian Dolls being promoted on Netflix, and I thought, this looks like a more interesting take on that concept.
It is a much more interesting take, and it, like, where Happy Death Day only takes it to one level, this takes it to, like, two levels further with that premise,
which
is pretty great.
Cool. I need to watch that. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, and it's really short. Like, the episodes are like 30 minutes, I think, and there's only like 8 episodes. Mm. So it's pretty great.
I like, what's her name? I can't think of her name now.
Redhead chick.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black chick. That's right.
I forget her name.
Anyway, number six, Umbrella Academy.
Was that good?
I started it.
It looked terrible.
It's so good.
I got to maybe episode two.
So I've never read the comic. I know it's written by the guy from My Chemical Romance.
Gerard Way, yeah.
Yeah, so that alone made me like, ugh, I'm never reading this.
Apparently it's really good.
I saw the show. It's really good. Like, the story is awesome.
He's a much better author than he is a musician.
Much better. He's a better geek than he is a rock singer.
Yeah.
It's a fun, interesting take on tropes that we've seen before.
It's like X-Men.
Yeah.
If they were all... like a dysfunctional X-Men.
Yeah, like it's literally like what he said, like a dysfunctional family that's forced to be superheroes that don't want to be superheroes.
Okay.
And they're all raised by like this dysfunctional dad, and they have a monkey butler that's pretty much their surrogate father.
Sort of like Doom Patrol is the same way, in the same style.
Yeah, kind of. I haven't seen it, but it's kind of the same
theme. Really love Doom Patrol.
If you like Doom
weird
Patrol,
and quirky.
You'll love Umbrella Academy.
Okay. I need to finish it. I need to finish
and,
it.
And like, when it gets to the ending, you just keep wanting to watch it, and I can't wait for season two.
Okay.
We already talked about The Boys. That's my number five. Number four, which was a huge surprise to me, because I don't like this kind of style of filmmaking, but the story, and I know why they made the show like this, because I don't think you could tell the story in any different way. It's called Undone. It's an Amazon Prime original. And it's about this girl who's kind of losing her mind. She's like having anxiety attacks, and she gets into a car crash, and all of a sudden she starts seeing her dead dad, and her dead dad's telling her like, hey, you have the power to time travel, and I need you to help me solve my death. And that's the hook. And it's all filmed. It takes place in San Antonio, Texas, and it's filmed in like this rotoscope way. Yeah,
huh?
In this rotoscope way. If you ever seen
I'm looking at that, yeah.
God, what's the name of that movie with Keanu Reeves? Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
And Waking Life.
Yeah.
That Richard Linklater made.
It has Bob Odenkirk in it?
Yeah, he's the dad. Wow. It's really good. It wrecked me, man. Like the show is a powerful
force. It has the mom from the George Lopez show.
Okay. The emotions in this show is great. Rosie Perez, who's also Alita Battle Angel. Isn't that Rosie Perez?
Rosie Perez is somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, but the chick who...
Rosa Salazar.
Rosa Salazar, thank you.
That's not... Rosie Perez is in Birds of Prey,
yeah,
unfortunately.
That's a different person. It's just an emotionally great story that you think you know where they're going and how they're going to tell this story, but then you don't. And if you have Amazon Prime... take a chance on it. It's okay. Really good. And then to round it out, my top three, Euphoria on HBO. Single-handedly, hands down, probably some of the best filmmaking I've
what
ever seen
that?
In a TV show. Euphoria is about the show. It's a show about these teenagers dealing with hardship life, like white privilege or rich privilege, but... to the 10th degree, like very drama up to the drama. And it's about this girl who OD'd and so her year back.
This the show was Zendaya?
Yes.
Okay. I never watched it.
The show is so good, and like the way it's made, it's makes you think like, fuck, how did they shoot that scene every time? I had to rewatch the show after I finished watching it. I rewatched it immediately. And there's very little shows that I do that with.
It stars Zendaya and Maude Apatow.
I don't know who Maude Apatow is.
Judd Apatow's daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I know.
I believe you. And then number
two.
So, if you're a fan of filmmaking at all, or if you're a fan of like good cinematography and good drama,
okay,
you need to watch this.
This is on
HBO.
Okay.
And then number two, The Witcher on Netflix.
Yeah, really?
Oh my god.
Really?
It is so good. Like
I'm episode 4 of it.
And are you not a fan of it
it's
yet?
It's okay.
Oh,
it's fine.
I think it's some of the best television ever on TV. It is so good.
I like
Henry,
the game a lot.
Henry Cavill is awesome. I'd have zero background knowledge on any of the Witcher stuff.
I don't either. I've been told a lot that I should play the game,
yes,
but
should.
I've never played one.
Do you need a coin to throw to your Witcher?
Apparently so. It's good. It's just good fantasy, good action. They tell the story in a very compelling way. I figure out what they're doing halfway through. And I was kind of like vindicated when I was proved right at the final episode.
We started binging it this past Sunday. We're going to try to finish it this weekend. Probably.
It's great. I think it's only 10 episodes, I believe.
I think it's like eight.
Eight. Yeah. It's not long, but there are hour long episodes.
Yeah.
Which is more than I can say.
Hour-ish.
It's hour plus, which is more than Mandalorian is. And it's just good. Like the fight scenes are great. The magic looks cool. The characters are interesting. The drama's there. Like you see battles with magic.
I just the last episode of that the Hunchback Girl.
Yeah.
Just went through her thing.
Her transformation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the last, that's where we stopped.
Dirty. And bloody.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then my number one, of course, you said it already, is The Watchmen.
Agreed.
Yeah. It is single-handedly probably the most important show of 2019 and probably one of my favorite shows of the decade.
Who watches The Watchmen? Apparently everybody. And if you're not, you should be.
Yeah, you should be. So, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but, like, when they revealed who was going to be in the final and what the final, what the whole show, who the whole show is about at the very end, I wasn't sold on it until the final episode.
It's all about, what do you mean?
I guess minor spoilers here. Dr. Manhattan is a real character in the show, and he comes back in a big way, and I didn't think I needed another story about Dr. Manhattan or with Dr. Manhattan in it. But apparently, I was very wrong.
I've been reading halfway through the Doomsday Clock series.
I haven't read any of that.
It's good, but it's very convoluted.
This is where they mix the Watchmen characters with DC characters.
Yeah, but there has been a lot of mixture. It's been mostly Watchmen characters, but it's been different.
It seems like
Watchmen
would
characters
have to be convoluted.
It is.
It seems like there's no way. Like if you're going with that as a premise, you're convoluted.
Batman was in it for a little bit, and that's about it so far.
Did you ever read Before Watchmen?
Not all of it. No,
I didn't read any of that either. I was going to ask if that was any good. I've been thinking about buying it. It's been sitting on my Amazon cart for a hot minute.
If you're a Watchmen fan.
When I watched Watchmen, the show does an amazing job for fan service, but what's great about it, it doesn't rely on that show, on the original text to tell the story that it's trying to tell, which is amazing in my opinion.
All right, so we've gone through music, we've gone through films and TV. We're running really long, so I want to touch upon some video games real quick.
This will be easy for me. I played no new video games in 2019. Nothing new. Nothing that came out in 2019.
I only played two games.
I wanted to tell you real quick. I got Doom and Doom 2 on the Switch, and they just released. I haven't downloaded it yet. I need to do that today.
Did you know there's a new Doom movie on Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Oh, did you watch it?
No.
Oh.
I've heard it's really bad.
I just saw it on the when I was looking through movies.
But they updated them today where you can actually download WADs for the game. Oh, really? And the first one they released WADs is Sigil.
WADs are basically level files for Doom.
So when
the original Doom had been out for a little bit, they actually released the code and went, "Y'all have nuts, fan community." And they did.
Wow.
The fan community made shit tons of content for the Doom engine.
Wow.
And the level files were .wad, so they're WADs.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cool.
A little bit of background there.
I just wanted to bring that up to you real quick. It's pretty cool. Okay, so no games on your list this year?
Nothing. I played nothing released in 2019.
What about you?
I played Fallen Order and Untitled Goose Game.
We played that for a few minutes in my house.
I bought it the day after.
You bought it? Okay.
Here, yeah.
I have a list. We can go through that real quick.
Sure.
I'm going to say, starting off, my friend Pedro.
Oh, I have that. Is that a new game from 2019? I thought that was from 2018.
No, I don't think so.
I bought that too. I haven't finished it, but I played it a little bit.
I think it's on Game Pass now for Xbox, but it's...
I got it on the Switch.
Yeah, me too. Devolver game. It's basically...
It's hard.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah, it sucks. I keep dying.
But hard games are good.
No.
Moving on, I don't want to take a lot of time here. The remake of Link's Awakening on the Switch, Legend of Zelda, so good.
I haven't finished.
It's beautiful. My only complaint about it is they use a lot of vignettes around the edges for a lot of stuff just to try to, I don't know what they're trying to do there.
Cinematics,
I guess, but it's sort of distracting it sometimes. Untitled Goose Game. If you're a goose,
did you finish it yet?
I have not.
I finished it.
Have you?
It's awesome.
You're a goose and get to fuck with people. It's pretty great.
Asshole goose.
Yeah. I played Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. I need to play more of that.
That one I was interested in.
Very
What's
good.
That one.
What's that?
What's that one?
It's like excuse my very dumbed down understanding of what this game is,
because
I know it's a dumbed down understanding. It's Dark Souls in Japan.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a storyline to it or anything?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's actually really well done. It's very difficult.
It's from the same studio that made Dark Souls.
Do you own that game?
Yes.
Oh. If you're done with it, I'll borrow it. Okay.
No, I'll shake my head.
Or not.
I did enjoy Days Gone.
I didn't get to play that.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It
looked hard.
Yeah, there's some weird story bits to it, but I haven't finished it yet.
Has that one guy that's in almost every video game that has like a cinematic feel to it?
Yeah.
He was in Force Unleashed. What's his name?
Sam Witwer?
Is that who it is, right? Who plays the main character?
I don't think so.
Isn't
that? I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's a good question. There's a couple of games that are sort of, they're my top games I've played a lot this year, but the sort of disappointments, so we're going to get to those in a minute.
Oh, wow.
Blood and Truth. It's a PlayStation VR game.
I don't have
it. It's an action adventure game that's narrative driven. It's really, really good. A lot of fun. It's a shooting game, but just the storyline is really awesome. It's just
Blood and Truth.
Blood and Truth.
Okay.
VR. VR.
Okay.
PSVR. That's
only
like,
VR.
Yes. I want to say Trover Save the Universe.
Oh yeah, from Squanch Games.
So funny, so good. You don't have to play it in VR either. You can.
Oh, you don't.
No.
But I bet it's more fun.
It just came out on Switch too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So it's designed for VR, but they've finagled it where you don't have to play it in VR because you're in VR, you're a guy that's in a sort of like in a Wall-E where you're just like in a chair.
If I buy the VR version, can I play it in regular mode?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
You can.
All right.
I've done that actually. I want to go Valfaris.
Mm-hmm.
This game called Valfaris. It's a Switch game. It's on PS4 as well. It's imagine melding Super Metroid without the exploration part of it, though. It's very, you know,
linear.
Mix that with Contra.
It looks.
This is that heavy metal game you had me play.
It is a heavy metal game. The soundtrack is done by.
I kept dying.
The game is difficult as balls. This game is so fucking hard. When Justin came over one time, we were playing it. We were trying to get past this boss. We sat there for an hour trying to get past one boss. But it's one of those games where you just want to keep on playing and playing and playing, and you get the satisfaction when you finally get past a part that you couldn't get past. It's just so much fun. It's 16-bit graphics. It's one of my favorite underrated games this whole year. Moving on, another Switch game, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, yeah, I did play that too. I forgot that came out this year.
Yeah, so much fun.
I haven't finished it yet.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's so fun.
I'm not sure if they've started playing it.
Did you beat the game?
No, I have not beat it yet.
Yeah, I'm like on level 5 or
six. I'll talk about why I haven't beat it in a minute.
I got distracted with Fallen Order.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2, which came out earlier in the year. It's not just a remake of Resident Evil 2. It's almost a completely new game. And they're doing that the same thing with Resident Evil 3, which is coming out soon, too.
I've never played a single Resident Evil game.
How, in what way are you saying? I just expected it to be like an update thing, and so I didn't care.
Controls are much better. The story beats are a little bit different. Level design is a little bit different. It feels like you're playing a completely new game. Gears 5, which I got through Game Pass. I'm probably maybe halfway through it. Gears games are just a lot of fun. I don't really play online. I
don't
just play.
Like them. I played the first.
I remember the first one that came out on the 360.
I didn't like it. I played all the way through it and was like, why did I spend all that time playing this stupid game? I don't like the Gears 4 games.
That's fine. You don't have to.
Okay.
I don't think they're fun. I think they're a slog. There's a difference.
I think playing with friends was fun. That's what I enjoyed doing when I was in college. But that's about it.
All right, so moving on. Control.
So is it good?
Fucking phenomenal.
So I watched the trailer, and it looks like one of those games that can go either way.
So this one was recommended to me by an old friend of mine who was in the game industry.
Yeah.
And she brought it up to me, and she said, you need to play Control.
You do.
I'd never heard of it. She goes, you need to play this game. This is the best game that's come out this year.
I agree. Very close for me. It's done by the same team who does Max Payne and Alan Wake, Remedy. It's very slow in the beginning, but once it starts to open up and you get different powers.
So it's like superpowers, right?
And
you can fly and hold people and like make them push with telekinetic powers and
yes.
shit.
Yes. Yeah.
She also emphasized to me that the world building was very interesting.
Yeah.
That it's all very.
They do narrative driven games very, very well.
So I'm going to pick this up because I was teeter tottering whether to get it or not. Mm-hmm. And then. The trailer looks good, but the trailer also looks like it could just look like a good trailer, so you never really know. They probably put all the good shit in the trailer.
No, I don't think that. No. There's a lot of stuff that really opened up for me. I was like, oh. My number two game of the year is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Your number two?
Number two.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely love that game.
I'll tell you what I liked about the game. I loved BD-1.
Yes, BD-1 is the best Star Wars character ever.
Is the best, cutest android.
Best droid ever.
Ever. I'm waiting for the day they come out with a big one so I can buy it and have it on my shoulder all the time.
That's what you need, a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, most definitely. I love the fact that you felt like a Jedi when you got all the powers and you actually could use it.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint, I didn't think the voice acting was very good.
I disagree.
And also, the only one I really liked as far as voice actors was Grease. I think Grease was the best. He's the guy who sold it every time he was on screen. And I think the problem was there wasn't enough of him. I think that was probably my biggest complaint. I didn't like Serial, whatever the fuck her name is. Siri. The black chick with the bug eyes.
Oh, the girl from Mad TV?
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, she was on Mad TV.
Oh, she has...
She's done tons of voice acting.
Yeah.
She's like, after Mad TV, she went straight into voice acting and has not slowed down. I can't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about.
She has bug eyes. That's all I know.
She does.
Yeah, and I didn't like her. I didn't like her character. And I also wasn't a huge fan. I felt like I knew the ending of the game before we got to
the... You didn't like Cal?
I think he was okay. I just wanted more of a story with Cal. Like, I felt like it was very, like, scratching the surface of what we could have done. And maybe they were doing it on purpose so they can have a sequel.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of felt like they left out a lot.
I'm happy with it because it's a narrative-driven game.
Most definitely.
Nothing else about it but a single-player game. And it was the best-selling Star Wars game ever.
Yeah, I bought it day one.
And
I played the shit out of it.
Hopefully... companies like EA, who produce this game, publish this game, take heed.
Respawn was the publisher.
Developer. With Respawn, yeah. If you played Titanfall 2, there's a lot of elements from Titanfall 2, especially like the wall running and stuff.
Yeah, that was so annoying.
I liked that stuff. I thought it was great.
It's not that I didn't like, maybe because I'm not a good video gamer, I guess. It's just fucking hard.
No, it was a difficult fucking game.
I'm hearing this complaint from you a lot tonight.
It's a hard game.
I didn't play anything new this year, but just my input, if I show up and go, I really liked this game, it's really hard, the hardness of the game is one of the things I enjoy about it.
I feel you on that. Don't get me wrong.
This is Star Wars Dark Souls. It's designed to play like Dark Souls.
There are some bosses in this game that are soul-crushing.
If you do not know how to block and parry, you're not going to have a good time in this game.
Even if you do, good fucking luck, because it's kind of a wish-wash if you can block or not.
I sort of agree on that.
It's a hard game. There's one boss, and I hated to do this, but I had to like bump my level down from normal to easy just to advance in the game. Because I was stuck on one boss.
Which boss was that?
It was the first sister.
Okay, I did that same thing.
You did, right?
Did.
The first time you
then I put it back up, but yeah.
Yeah, after you pass her, you go back up because it's almost a cakewalk past that. But her and the AT-ST are almost unbearably hard.
There was an AT-ST boss fight in Shadows of the Empire.
There was.
That was soul-crushingly hard.
Yeah. This is even better.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. My number one game that I had the best time playing this year, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. It's a Metroidvania video game.
Sounds like a terrible romance novel.
Right. It was the development was led by original series Castlevania producer and it's a spiritual successor to Symphony of the Night. Such a great fucking game. I 100% of that game. Just didn't stop playing it over and over and over. It's so good. I played it on the Xbox One. Apparently the Switch version had a lot of problems.
I also felt about... Sorry, not to go back to Fallen Order. I felt Fallen Order was a little buggy for me.
It is a little bit. But you have that caliber of a game. There's going to be some bugs in it. It comes with the territory.
I guess.
So my two game that I played the most of this year, but were disappointing to me, might surprise some people. First was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. I beat the game recently, but that game gets so fucking difficult. And my biggest complaint about this game is I bought the DLC season pass for this game to unlock the characters that you pay for. The $20 season pass to unlock the characters that you pay for, you have to go through trials that if you're not powered enough to get through them, you can't get these characters that you've already fucking paid for. Really fucking annoying. I was so disappointed in that.
You got to level up, bro.
I have been. I found this one level. What I've been doing is just starting the level, leaving it, letting it power up, restarting it, leaving it. That's just
like let it run in the background or something.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to fucking do that.
I've never played any of those games.
And the other game that I had a blast playing it, but until like the end boss was too fucking difficult, and it just was a big disappointment to me. Can y'all guess what I'm going to say? Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was disappointing?
The whole game was
I've heard consistently.
There's the hype around that game.
There's a hype.
Okay. Yeah.
The problem was, if this game came out when it should have, 13 years ago, it would have been good.
I was about to say, like, people have been wanting this game for like decades.
And yeah, it sort of made me not a fan of the series that much anymore.
Wow, is that bad, huh?
Not bad, just disappointing.
What was disappointing about it?
Okay, Xehanort, the fucking end boss is so difficult. I never got to beat him. And
it's a running theme in 2019. Hard bosses.
Hard bosses. It just didn't feel there. It felt more the same. It didn't look like an updated game. It just felt like they started it after Kingdom Hearts 2, they're like, oh, we'll use this technology. And they didn't do anything after that. But it still took them 14 years to release it. It should have looked better. It should have been different. Everything was just... The menu system was...
The same people that made Death Stranding?
No.
No?
God, Death Stranding, god damn it. I rented that game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Walking Simulator 2019. I mean, it's the most beautiful game I played this year. But it was also the most boring game I played. But going back to Kingdom Hearts real quick, everything about the menu system was antiquated. The sounds were just, hey, let's just use everything from Kingdom Hearts 2 from a previous generation. They could have done so much better.
Two previous generations.
Yeah, you're right.
PS2 game. Yeah.
It was so disappointing. I still had fun playing it when I did. But
was it just pure nostalgia pushing?
Yeah, I think so. It was that the anticipation got me, and it didn't live up to the hype. There was no way it could live up to the hype.
Sure.
Yeah. Even with like some of the cool stuff I was looking forward to, like, oh, there's special moves you can do that are based on Disney theme park attractions and stuff like that. Wasn't enough of it. There was like five of them. They could have done so much more and so much. We didn't need a Frozen level where they just basically retold the story. I understand that. Where's the Marvel level? Where's the Star Wars level?
Maybe they didn't know about the Marvel rights by then.
They did. Oh, they did.
Okay.
Because they got those rights like 5 years ago. Come on. I'm not making excuses for them, but you know. All right. So there's my list.
There you go.
Do you have any others on yours?
I mean, I'm playing Spider-Man still, but that came out in 2018.
It did.
But I bought the DLC, and DLC came out later.
In 2018?
Did it?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm playing that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Fallen Order. I'm trying to 100% it.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's all I got. Dave?
I didn't play any new releases in 2019.
What did you play this year?
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, okay.
I got to a certain point.
I have a buddy that's playing that, too.
It was so good. Like,
the game? The story?
Yes. Like, I wasn't exactly surprised with what... Like, it went where I thought it was going, mm-hmm. but when it got there, it was still satisfying.
Great.
It was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, yeah. Cool. I've been meaning to pick it back up.
Probably
again,
one of the best story-driven video games I've played.
Right on.
I really enjoyed.
And you play it on
story.
Xbox or
PS4?
PS4.
No, I
have you played?
I boycotted the Xbox One.
Have you played any of the Uncharted games?
No.
Oh, dude.
Do you have a PlayStation Plus?
It just expired.
Oh. You can renew it now for like $45.
Oh, are they doing that right now?
Yes.
That's what through I did last
them.
Time.
And actually, I think one of the free games this month is the Uncharted Collection.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, I should
minus
get on
that the fourth one.
Right. It's the first three games. Yeah.
The first three games.
Okay. Uncharted is one of my favorites.
If you think that is, I would say play Uncharted and then tell me if. Because I think Uncharted is probably the best narrative game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ever
I agree.
Played.
There was a moment that, at least one moment in Red Dead Redemption 2 that, like, I choked up. That was like, oh.
Do you play it online or just playing the story?
I've only played the story. Oh. I haven't done any online stuff.
I have
stuff.
A buddy of mine who plays with his brother, and all they do is, like, online stuff.
Fuck the story.
Hours and hours and hours of
I played
it.
A little bit of online for the first Red Dead Redemption game, and it was like, okay, I don't get what the point is, but...
Apparently in this one you can like create a posse and
yeah, I guess so.
Like attack other
well
posses.
I know that they've done like crazy shit with GTA 5 online, like there's all like there's heists and all kinds of like stuff.
It's like that in this
I haven't
too,
done
yeah.
any of that either, but
alright, we're gonna take a quick break cause we're running really really long and I'm tired. Let's take a break.
I got like 2 hours of sleep last night, so.
It looks like you do.
I believe you.
I've been up since 4 a.m.
and we're gonna, you know, take a quick break, stretch our legs, and then we're going to come back and finish this episode.
Finish it up.
All right. Be right back. Well, that's 2019 in a nutshell. Reminds me of the old Austin Powers joke.
Look, this is me in a
this
nutshell.
This is me in a nutshell.
So stupid.
So we're going to do what's tickling our geek. But we're going to go even a step further. We're going to do for all 2020.
Oh, what are we looking forward for in the 2020 vision?
2020 vision.
Yeah, God. What we see with clear eyes.
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
I don't want to go first.
Dave goes first.
I haven't thought of anything, so I...
God damn it, I will go first.
You go first. That's what I said.
Before I go first, I forgot to mention, talk about a show on my TV segment.
Too late.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a show that I want to shed some light on. Not that it needs my help or anything like that, but just in case anybody thought not to watch the show, you need to watch the show.
Okay.
It's called Lost in Space 2, or Lost in Space Seasons 1 and 2.
I have not watched
is
that
it
yet.
Good?
It is so
really?
Good. It is amazingly good.
Because it's like I would,
better than it deserves.
I would want it to be good, but I would not at all expect
like,
it
either.
To be
if
good.
If you like exploration, if you like space, if you like families coming together to solve a problem, if you like sci-fi adventures, this is a show for
I
you.
I like those things.
Is there a war?
And I would expect
show.
It to be bad.
Your kids will love the show.
Is there a war?
Is there a war? Yeah,
in the star?
Yeah, there's a star.
In the stars?
There's a star,
star war.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a star war in there.
Okay. Is there plural wars?
No, just one.
Just one war?
Just the singular one. So anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about real quick before I go on. So the thing I'm looking forward to the most in 2020, no surprises, a movie. Or a couple of movies, to be fair. The biggest one on my list is Tenet, the new Christopher Nolan movie.
It's starring David, right?
Yes.
David Tennant.
I hope it would be a great joke, but they're not going to do it. If he was like the bad guy at the end, like the man who's pulling all the strings.
It's Tenet, though. It's T-E-N-E-T.
It's a palindrome, so however
this
it's
This is
spelled,
John...
Forwards and backwards.
David is Tenet. This movie is Tenet.
Tenet.
Yeah, Tenet.
This is John David Washington?
It's Denzel's Washington's son.
The guy from Ballers.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah.
He's in it.
He's a great fucking actor.
Apparently, if you go see the shitty Star Wars in IMAX, you get to see 5 minutes of Tenet.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have seen the 5 minute trailer.
I don't remember
the opening of the scene of the movie.
It wasn't with Star Wars. It was way earlier. I don't remember what it was, but
they say it's exclusively for that. I guess.
Well, I saw it before.
Cool. There you go. And I'm also super excited. We got a date for Bill and Ted 3. Comes out in August.
Yes.
So I'm ready for a trailer at this point.
You ready to party on, dude?
Party on, Wayne.
There's one. You mentioned something that you forgot to mention. There's something I forgot to mention that
Holy
I've seen
shit,
twice.
What'd you forget?
Forgot a movie.
You seen twice?
I saw it twice.
Was it Star Wars?
It was not. Well, I did see that twice. Not my favorite movie, and I don't want to hear your comment about
I'm
it at all.
Comment on it. It's what I'm here for.
Paid a lot of money to see it, actually, for the
paid
second
a lot
time.
Of money. Wow, shit.
Jane Silent Bob board. Reboot.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I've heard it's fine.
It's fan service to the nth degree.
And that's what Kevin Smith does.
There's parts of it I did not like. There is definitely audio issues for me where...
Production-wise, audio
yeah.
issues?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
it was just your movie theater?
No, I saw that the first time, and then the second time was the same way. There's a scene where they're at the Chronic Con, and all you can hear is them talking. There's no background noise. There's no music. There's no nothing. It was very awkward.
They ran out of money in the budget.
Apparently. And there's another part where Ben Affleck was talking, and then the music was in the background, got slowly louder and louder, and then got louder, and then it got too loud. You're like, all right, dude, pull that shit back. And now I can't hear the people talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's
an inside joke we don't know about.
Maybe. I enjoyed the movie. It wraps up the View Askew universe in a way that other movies didn't do this year. But I enjoyed it. It comes out on Blu-ray like on the 21st.
Yeah, I'm going to rent it when it comes out. And he's also doing a Mallrats apparently got greenlighted.
Mallrats is greenlit.
Clerks 4.
Have you seen Ethan Suplee recently?
Who?
Ethan Suplee.
No.
Suplee?
No.
It was, you know, he's the guy, the sailboat guy from Mallrats.
Oh, yeah?
From my name.
The big guy.
Yeah.
That guy is Jack now.
Hey, if you have your claim to fame as being the big guy.
It just happened recently because I was.
It's kind of like Carrot Top. He went the opposite way when he kept getting made fun of being redhead and scrawny.
That's true. Yeah.
He went the steroid route.
I don't know if he's gone the steroid route, but apparently he started his own podcast about weight loss and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, wow. He really took that shit seriously. Someone must have really hurt his feelings.
Yeah, there he is right there.
Holy shit, he doesn't even look the same.
I know.
He looked like someone he would kill somebody in the alley.
Who does he look? He looks, just in that picture, he looks like somebody.
He looks like an MMA guy or something now. He's all jacked. It's weird.
Yeah, it's scary.
All right, so what's tickling my geek is something that we're in the planning stages for. It's a trip to Disney World this year.
What? You know, I'm actually kind of sort of planning one as well, but to Disneyland.
Yeah. I'm super excited to go to Galaxy's Edge. You've been there. I have not been there yet.
Hopefully I get to go to
Rise of the Resistance has just opened, and it's supposed to be fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I hear nothing but great. It's like the best ride ever.
Yeah, made. I know people personally who've been on it, and it's amazing. And we haven't been there in like 3.5 years. Last time we were together.
Right? Yeah.
So I haven't seen the Avatar stuff. I haven't seen Toy Story Land. There's a lot of new stuff. And they released a 20% off hotel stay. And we're staying at All Star Movies. So we got a good deal. I'm looking forward to that. It's right after after I'm free at the end of May, basically.
Oh, it's in May you're going.
Yeah, we're going the last weekend of May through the first week of June.
I'm hoping to go to April. Hopefully I can miss out on some of the tourist crowd.
You should be good.
Yeah.
Let me know when you go. We'll let you know where the hotel to stay at and all that. The walking distance. And,
sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You
get free parking.
In September when we went, the one he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Free parking, free
crazy?
Breakfast buffet.
Do you think it'll be crazy during the weekend?
Weekends are going to be more busy, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Also, because Disneyland is much more of a locals park.
Yeah.
So,
what days were you thinking about going?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then leave Monday was my plan.
if you can do it any other way, but I mean, if it's just what you got, I mean, definitely go. Don't not go because of the weekend.
Sure.
You just might have to wait a little bit longer lines. No big deal. But
I just want to make sure I get that Rise Resistance pass early in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to handle it at Disneyland yet. They probably can do it the same way. I wonder how it's going to be when I go in May, because right now you have to get there when they open, and you have to sign into your account.
People have been getting there at like 4 o'clock in the morning for this stuff.
Yeah, I've been watching some of the videos.
Me too.
Stupid.
Maybe by May might be different. I don't know.
Hopefully. I mean, the ride would have been open for a good 6 months at that point.
But yeah, it's still going to be a wait. I'm totally okay with that. But if we do have to do that one day to get on it,
I'm super excited to ride the Indiana Jones ride again.
Amazing ride.
It is an amazing ride. It was the only
ride. It's supposed
ride
to go into rehear.
I was going
to
say, it's about to go into refurbishment, so it might be closed.
Yeah, look and see when it is.
Fuck. Just broke my heart a little bit.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm breaking your heart now
instead
of when you get there.
It's true. But at least there is like the area, the Adventureland area that I like. They have that shop right across the ride.
Trust me, dude. Go to next to, I can't think of what they called it, Aloha Isle. No. What's it called? The area right next to Jungle Cruise. Not Tangaroa Terrace.
I can't remember.
Get the loaded Dole Whip.
Get the loaded Dole Whip.
Holy crap, dude.
It looks like a dumpster fire, but it's fucking amazing.
But it's an amazing dumpster fire.
When they bring it out, you'll look at it and go, who thought to put this combination of things together? And then you eat it
I know the Dole Whip is like pineapple and
so
ice cream.
Think the Dole Whip that you're familiar with. Crystallized hibiscus on it, canned
fruit
under, well, the oranges underneath it.
There was other fruit in there too. So it was
ours
mango.
Was all orange.
Oh, we had a whole. We had
no,
like,
okay. No, there was mango. There was mango in it as well.
Pineapple like chunks
and then chocolate pocky stuck all through it.
Okay.
It's like, okay, what the hell?
It doesn't sound bad.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds something I
phenomenal
would make at home.
I want to recreate that. I'm trying to, where do I get crystallized hibiscus? Because you can go buy, you can get Dole Whip at Orange Leaf. No. It's not going to be the same.
You can make your own.
I've done that before. Still not the same. Go to Orange Leaf. They actually have it on soft serve there. They have orange, pineapple, and I think that was it. Raspberry sometimes.
I'm on keto right now, so I'm trying to shed a few pounds.
I know. Me too.
Not a thing that's happening.
I'm trying to shed a few pounds so I can gain them back at Disney.
That's true. It's all about the gaining the weight back at Disney.
That's all about that. We're looking forward to a lot of cool places there.
Very cool.
And hanging out.
How long will y'all be there?
I think a week, 6 days.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. We're planning it to take it easy. So we want to do the stuff that we haven't done before. Then everything else is play by ear.
What haven't you done before at Disney World?
All Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, haven't done.
Okay, I mean, but that I imagine you can do that all in one day.
Maybe, but we're going to spend a couple of days there. We haven't done Avatar. We haven't done Pandora, whatever it's called. We haven't done Toy Story Land. There's new places, new restaurants. We want to hang around. We just want to walk around leisurely.
Not going to like even attempt to go to Universal?
Maybe not.
Oh, okay.
We just want to hang around, walk around World Showcase and just, you know, do stuff we've never done before, that kind of stuff, you know.
Sounds like a good time.
Hang out with hopefully your friend that's there with Brian. And I don't know, just have a good time.
Cool.
We're staying All-Star Music. They have like a secret menu item. Mm-hmm. Secret menu. So this is pretty cool. You have to go there and say, hey, I would like the secret menu item. They bring you a briefcase. And in the briefcase, they open it up. And there's viewfinders, and you click on the viewfinders, and that's where the secret menu is.
Cool. Is the combination 666?
That'd be cool.
It would be cool.
One of the secret menu items, to spoil it, is there's poutine, but there's a bacon cheeseburger on a cinnamon roll.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible, but everything I've seen is...
Also, it sounds like a heart attack.
It does. That's why you share it. You don't eat the whole fucking thing yourself, for sure.
Or just take the cinnamon roll off and just eat the burger and then eat the cinnamon roll afterwards.
No, you can't do it that way. You have to do it as designed.
As served.
As
the
designed.
The chef will come out and slap you.
That's right.
If you attempt to alter it in any
way. That's a secret menu item, dude. Come on, what are you doing? But yeah, we're looking forward to that. We haven't got our airfare yet, but we've put our deposit down on the hotel.
Cool.
Yeah. Excited.
You can always take Spirit Airlines.
Dude, right now, Spirit Airlines is $1,400 for round trip right now.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the fuck is going on, but we're waiting for airfare to go down. That and the whole 737 thing.
Yeah.
But.
Politics.
Yep.
What about you, Dave? What are you looking forward to for 2020?
Not a goddamn thing.
Hopefully not dying. Like, you know, end of the world and shit.
We'll see what happens. It's not looking great right now.
Outlook is not great.
To shake one of the eight balls.
any answer I gave right now would I'm not hip enough to what's going on as far as stuff coming out. I haven't looked that far ahead yet. I don't have my concert schedule put together yet. I am looking forward to the Devin Townsend thing and the Insomnium thing. Those I have plans for, but I don't have a big thing yet. I'm still kind of in the process of figuring out what the year ahead looks like.
Maybe watching some more movies from 2019.
Maybe. I might. Yeah. Maybe play a game or something.
Play a game. Watch a TV show.
He's looking forward to finishing Supernatural.
There you go. That's a...
You got a whole year to do that. It is a lot of...
Hey,
when's the final season coming up?
I've gone through half of it in the last less than a year. And so, that's totally doable. I'll be able to finish.
How many seasons?
10?
15.
No, 15, yeah.
15, okay.
And 15's the last one.
And they got 10 left. You can do it.
I'm on 8.
Oh, you're on 8? I thought you were on 5.
No.
Oh, you're on 8, okay.
5 was when it stopped being great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does it get better?
I've been told he gave up. He gave up.
I gave up like around 8 or 9.
I've been told it gets better again.
Okay.
Like I saw the whole storyline of the Leviathans, and then whatever. I don't need to go into it right now.
The Leviathan storyline was
Wow. It was like wow. Who was thinking that?
All right.
So that does it, man. 2020, clear eyes.
2020 vision. 2019 in the rearview mirror.
What?
We're done. Yeah.
Got an election to look forward to now.
Oh.
And taxes.
Yeah. Deaths and taxes. That's what we got to look forward to.
And Disney.
And Disney.
if you can afford to go because of taxes.
That's true. That's why we're trying to get that done beforehand, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. I'm still recuperating from getting married.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
It's taken me how many years?
To get recuperate financially?
I'm joking.
Oh, wow.
I'm joking.
I'm at 14. 10 years of marriage this year, come May.
Congratulations.
So we're at 14 in April. 14 this year? Yeah.
Wow.
Catch up, dude.
You
what's
up?
I'll let you know when I get there.
you'll never catch up to us.
Well, it's impossible unless I was a time traveler at this point.
It's true. I am looking forward to Bill and Ted, though, speaking of time travel.
Yep, me too.
Yep.
Have you seen the promo photos?
Yep.
They look old.
Yeah, they are old.
They made Keanu look old, though.
He is old.
I know he's old. 50s. He's in his mid-50s.
Yes. He's like 53 or 54.
No, but he didn't look old in John Wick. He looks weird with a shaved beard.
Yeah, he looks older because he doesn't have the beard.
Yeah.
The beard hides some years, for sure.
It sure does.
You'll never know. All right.
And that says it.
Look on the wall right there. See that figure? What does that say? That's right. 2020 vision. Let's wrap it up.
Wow.
So let's do our housekeeping here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Metal Geeks Podcast.
Hefty episode.
Hefty episode. I hope you stuck through it and disagree with George when he's wrong.
I'm not wrong. That's the problem.
Well, we'll disagree to disagree there.
It's just, I'm right.
Of course, you can find us all over the internet. Let's talk about Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Metal Geeks. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever they're calling that now. Apple Podcast is, I guess, what they're calling it.
Yes, that's what they're calling
it. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on all the podcatching software you can
get. However you listen to your podcast.
That's right. You can reach out to us on our website, metalgeekspodcast.com. If you have an email, you want to talk to us about anything, make a comment, msrcast@gmail.com. What about Brutal Dave?
You can find me at Red Viking Dave. I'll be at like an art show or a Renaissance festival or a metal concert near you soon.
That's right.
There you go. And I'm George Tripses at all the social medias.
All right.
Come fight me about Star Wars. You'll lose.
Or you'll just be wrong.
Or they'll just agree with me because I'm right.
All right, so that wraps it up. As always, we have a couple things we'd like to say.
Keep it metal.
And always keep it 2020.
I was going to say keep it geeky, but keep it 2020 works as well. Keep it 2020 geeky.
Geekier 20.
That's right. All right, see you guys later.
Geeky.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hello, America. Do you like listening to knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do? Wilbur does, don't you, Wilbur? But what about Daisy? She likes to listen to shows about pop culture, movies, television, and comic books. Good thing Wilbur and Daisy found the Nerd Bliss Podcast. You, too, can find the Nerd Bliss Podcast at nerdblisspodcast.com and on the ESO Network. Just remember, Nerd Bliss is one word.